Take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436, 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Dave Barrett. Should a president get a warrant before wiretaps are made on suspected terrorists in this country? The 42nd president of the United States thinks so.
It's better for us all to have some measure of accountability because nobody's immune from error.
Mr. Clinton sat down exclusively today with CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer.
In our interview, Bill Clinton reveals he approved up to 5 wiretaps a week, but he notes it was always with court approval within the 72 hours under the law. He's a strong believer in eavesdropping on suspected terrorists, but he sees no reason why it should be done without court approval. He predicts the Supreme Court will decide the legality of the Bush administration's practices.
More than 1,400 people were aboard a passenger ship that sank in the Red Sea. To this point, at least 314 of them have been brought to safety. Many of those aboard the ship were Egyptian workers heading home from Saudi Arabia. Sky News reporter Emma Hurd is in Safaga, Egypt.
All around this port, there are hundreds of people, many of them relatives, gathering of the passengers on board, trying to find out any information at all. Now, some of them have been here since 2 a.m. this morning, which was when the ship was due to dock.
There were high winds and a sandstorm off the Saudi west coast last night, and weather could be a factor in the capsizing of the 35-year-old ship. Caricatures of Muhammad in European papers have angered many followers of Islam. CBS's Elaine Cobb is in Paris.
Press Freedom Watchdog Reporters Without Borders has defended European newspapers that are reprinting the controversial cartoons.
It can be interpreted like provocation or something, but newspapers can be provocating. That is press freedom.
Annabelle Arkey says the group has called for peace and dialogue amid fears this dispute is widening the gap between Western democracies and the Muslim world. Elaine Cobb, CBS News, Paris.
Many papers in this country have mentioned the controversial cartoons but have not reprinted the images. Two cars were drag racing at 90 miles an hour on a street in L.A. There was a crash.
One of the vehicles, described as a black Nissan 300ZX, veered into a medical clinic at that corner intersection, injuring about 13 people.
Sarah Faden is with the LAPD. Three of those hurt are in critical condition. The Nissan driver is under arrest. Two men in the other car, a white Lincoln Town Car, got away. About a 25-mile drive south of Birmingham, Alabama, a half dozen churches burned in Bibb and Chilton counties. Police say arson may be the cause of some of those fires. There have been no arrests made so far. Another day of downside on Wall Street. The Dow lost 58 points to close at 10,793. The Nasdaq was off 19 points and wound up this week at 2,262. Crude oil closed up in New York trading, up 69 cents to $65.37 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Tiger Balm presents Jerry Rice.
Starting at wide receiver.
I'm ready for some football.
All-time record holder and Tiger Balm's biggest fan.
Huh?
Especially Tiger Balm's new pain-relieving patch.
The patch works for me.
Just apply the advanced hydrogel patch and Tiger Balm goes deep. Deep into aching muscles and joints. Tiger Balm's been around almost as long as...
Hey, watch it, pal.
Number 80, Jerry Rice.
Take a tip from me. Go for the Balm. Tiger Balm. And put the Tiger in your team.
Available at drugstores everywhere.
Want to be a big hit this Valentine's? You need to know 1-800-Flowers.com. They have the ultimate Valentine's gifts, and the flowers always get rave reviews. Tulips, roses, orchids, they're all gorgeous. And 1-800-Flowers.com delivers their flowers at the peak of perfection, even same day. And you can add chocolates or a teddy bear to any bouquet to make the perfect gift even more perfect. Just call or log on to 1-800-Flowers.com today and mention Lisa. You'll save 10% on anything you order. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com/radio for details.
Before the Super Bowl, frozen shrimp sales rise about 30%. Americans eat 11 million pounds of potato chips during the game, if history is any guide. The Steelers and Seahawks will be playing football, but Americans will snack their way through the game. KIRO's Heather Bosch on the preps being made in Seattle.
In a typical year,
the Super Bowl is the second biggest retail food day behind Thanksgiving.
Jim Potosa of Potosa's Family Grocer figures his business was up 20% for 2 days last year. But now, with the Seahawks in the Super Bowl?
Well, I don't know what to think. I wish I had some numbers to go by.
So Potosa's, like other stores, is loading up with beer, pizza, and chips. This supplier confirms he's
very busy. It's one of the best weeks ever.
Heather Bosch for CBS News near Seattle.
The Seattle Times says the typical fan will consume 1,200 calories worth of snacks during the game. The Calorie Control Council says it'll take 4 hours of walking to burn that off. Dave Barrett, CBS News.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Ah, vacation.
Fees apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
Hey, Coach Jimmy Johnson, what are you doing at Sam's Club?
Stocking up for my big game party. I got this 50-inch high-definition plasma TV, Buffalo hot wings, party trays, and 10 bags of Tostitos.
Tostitos? I'm going long. Throw me a bag.
I don't think so.
Aisle 15, I'm open.
Somebody get a stretcher. That's gotta hurt.
Sam's Club. Everything you need for great big game memories is here. So stock up and save big on great food items, electronics, and more. 10% service fee applies to all non-member purchases.
An official NFL free zone. You'll hear no comments from me about the Super Bowl today, as I don't invest much time in the NFL, and I care even less than I know. But I'm going to a party on Sunday. I'll be watching the game and having some fun. I just don't have anything to say about it. But we have plenty to talk about. This is my second outing today. I want to thank all you folks who tuned in and called in to the Tom Hartman Show nationwide this morning. Coming up first today, we have bad news about democracy in Ohio. In a moment, Harvey Wasserman will join us. Coming up after 3:30, American Indian activist John Trudell, who is a poet, a musician, and the subject of a new biographical film, will join us. He was one of the leaders of the occupation of Alcatraz Island in the early 1970s. And I can't wait to ask him what he thinks about Abramoff and the way he has treated Native American tribes. Also on the program today, we're going to take a look at the website Crooks and Liars. They've got some hot new content. We invited a representative on the program, but they're too busy at the website, so we'll go ahead without them. We're also going to meet Joan Kenley, the host of a brand new radio talk show about relationships. And I'll just tell you this, she is no Dr. Laura. Brad Friedman will join us in the 5 o'clock hour, as usual this week, but we've flipped the positions. He'll be on from 5 to 5:45, and then our weekly chat with Assemblyman John Laird will occur just before 6 o'clock. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're invited to join in by phone. Call me at 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free from Eureka or anywhere else you happen to be listening, even in a democracy challenge zone like the Buckeye State of Ohio. 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Well, students died at Kent State back in 1970. But this week, democracy suffered another near death in Columbus, Ohio, in the State House there. Harvey Wasserman stayed behind in the state that I departed from 30 years ago. He and Bob Petrakis run the website freepress.org, and they have been one of our major sources related to the irregularities. And yes, we can say fraud. Yes, we can say the election was stolen in 2004, and some really weird things happened in 2005 as well. Harvey and Bob wrote the book How the GOP Stole America's 2004 Election and is Rigging 2008. And Harvey joins us from Columbus, where the O is optional, this afternoon. Hi, Harvey.
Great to be with you, Peter.
Well, I wish it were under better circumstances, but you have alerted us to the passage of HB3 in Ohio. And if I may be the guest editor here, I'd just like to work backwards from the article that you and Bob posted, because most astonishingly, as you write, HB3 eliminates the state statutes that have allowed citizens to challenge the outcome of federal elections within the state. And so going forward, will anybody be able to challenge a purloined election in Ohio?
Not really. Nope. I mean, we barely were able to do it in 2004. We had four attorneys who filed a suit to stop the seating of the illegitimate Bush electors that gave George Bush the White House for a second term. And the four were attacked by the Attorney General and the Secretary of State, and they filed for sanctions. And then Kenneth Blackwell, the Secretary of State, locked up all the records for the 2004 election, and the lawsuit fell apart. I mean, you still can't get to the 2004 election outcomes precinct by precinct. Those illegally, those records are locked up.
Wow. This is
I mean, it's
astounding.
Like the Soviet Union, you know.
It really is.
Like they're gonna have elections upcoming in Haiti, apparently. There will be international monitors there. In Ohio, in 2004, the Secretary of State threatened to arrest any international monitors that tried to observe the elections here in Ohio.
Well, that it's just stunning. Now, let's talk about the rest of HB3. It also imposes a huge increase in the cost of a recount. And as we know, that recount was unsatisfying because it was sprinkled among precincts around the state. And as we know, many county registrars got tipped off about the random
5.7 million votes or thereabouts was less than 119,000 votes. And the Secretary of State, the Republican, still has 106,000 votes that weren't counted. There are about 90,000 machine spoiled ballots, about 16,000 provisional ballots. They just don't care. Mm-hmm. And so this new bill basically, it quintuples the cost of doing a recount. It makes a recount meaningless anyway because it restricts access to the electronic voting machine. So, you know, there's just no reason to even try and do it. It's all and who promised to deliver Ohio's electoral votes to George W. Bush. I mean, that's where it's at. These electronic voting machines here in Ohio just guarantee the Republicans are going to continue to carry Ohio basically forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can really pretty much forget about electing a Democratic president in this country. Only one president since 1860 has been elected in this country without carrying Ohio. And that was John Kennedy in 1960. And so really, whoever carries Ohio is going to carry the presidency. And the Republicans have an immutable lock on the elections now in this state.
We're talking with Harvey Wasserman in Columbus, Ohio. Visit the website freepress.org, and you can read this article for yourself. Now, the other element of it that you start off the piece with is one that Democrats and those who support the voting rights of poor and disenfranchised people, that's probably the wrong word to use, I guess, disenfranchised, but the requirement of a photo ID surfaced out of the Baker-Carter Commission, and this is a pet proposal of conservatives that's been circulating for quite some time.
Yeah, I mean, they want to eliminate homeless voters, elderly voters, people who are on welfare, who don't have a photo ID, and what they want to do, and not only that, but they really want to make it more difficult to vote in the inner city. So what they're going to do is they're going to have these challengers, Blackwell, who refused to allow international observers into the Ohio polls, does allow partisan challengers. And these Republicans are going to stand at the voting tables in the inner cities and just challenge everybody and drive the lines around the block like they did in 2004. So it'll take 3, 4, 5 hours again to vote. And that's the way it'll be. We're going to, you know, Americans, we've had it kind of easy all these years, and we're going to have to fight once more for the basic right to vote.
And is there any evidence that people have actually voted either more than once or illegally, voting for a phantom individual or a dead person?
No,
is there
I
any
seen
showing
I mean, there
that there's a problem
here and there? But this is all trumped up to give them additional control over the electoral process. I mean, it's amazing. On the one hand, they're restricting access to the polls, and on the other hand, they're restricting the ability to conduct recounts. I mean, well, you know, this is classic Karl Rove here.
Mm-hmm. All right, Harvey, we've got to take a break, and then we'll return. I want to get an update on Bob Petraeus' efforts to run for governor, see if you're getting any breaks in that campaign. And there's lots of other stuff to talk about, too. If you have a question or comment about democracy in Ohio, there used to be some there, give us a call. Central Coast lines are open at 831-899-5792. And from Eureka or elsewhere, call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications, deadlines are overlooked, and ultimately it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hi, this is Karen from Monterey Floral. Valentine's Day is not far away. Call Monterey Floral to order your sweetheart's bouquet. Chocolates, balloons, and foot baskets are also available. You provide the massage. Let Monterey Floral help you make this Valentine's Day extra special. We are located at 1250 Del Monte Avenue. Give us a call today, mention this ad, and receive a surprise gift. That's 641-0651. 641-0651. Remember, flowers say it all.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
You will not be able to stay home, brother.
be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised.
The Super Bowl will, but...
The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions.
Some powerful political musical commentary pre-rap era. That's Gil Scott-Heron, circa 1970. The revolution will not be televised. And likewise, the news of an end to serious democracy in Ohio was not delivered on the mainstream media. Of course, you can understand. They were busy covering the tearful Mrs. Alito and the ejection of Cindy Sheehan from the State of the Union message the other night. We're talking with Harvey Wasserman in Columbus, Ohio. Visit the website freepress.org and read more about this. But HB3, now it has passed the legislature there, Harvey?
It's a done deal, yep.
Has it been signed into law?
No, and it's not standing alone. There was also, before HB3, there was HB1, which opened the floodgates for money to the Republicans and cut off money for the Democrats, made it more difficult for labor unions and grassroots groups. So we have legislative races now for the State House where the Republicans are outraising the Democrats 6-7, 8-1. I mean, it's ridiculous. And,
wow.
You know, Ohio, after giving George W. Bush the White House in 2004, is now becoming essentially a one-party state. There's just no, I don't see any real hope for the Democrats being any kind of opposition in the state at all. And as I say, Ohio is the state that determines the presidential election, or at least you can't really win the White House without Ohio.
Harvey, earlier today I was hosting a subbing, actually, for Tom Hartman on his national radio show, and that was the most recent time we discussed voting in Ohio. And one caller who continues to be outraged said, well, why hasn't anybody filed a lawsuit about this to overturn the outcome of the election? And maybe you could take a minute here to talk about the various legal challenges that were made, and again, you run up against the Republican machine in Ohio.
Yeah, and six of the seven Supreme Court justices in Ohio are Republican. So, and now they've obliterated the laws within the state for challenging a federal election that's held in Ohio. So, you know, this is getting to be like a little like Chile and under Pinochet here. This is no laughing matter. And this Kenneth Blackwell, who thinks he's anointed by God, is about to become governor, and he's going to run this place, but with an iron fist. It's not going to be much different than a third world country.
Now, your partner in lefty conspiracies, Bob Fitrakis, is throwing his hat in the ring. Is he getting any traction as a protest and independent candidate for governor?
Well, he's running as a Green, and the media won't cover him at all.
Yeah.
They didn't cover his announcement. He's getting no press, really. And there is a conspiracy of silence here on third-party candidates. They don't want to hear from them.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to acknowledge that there could be a problem outside the mainstream here. I mean, I was on a TV show today, and basically asked why Ken Blackwell would lose an election that he's counting the votes in, and you know, people look like I, you know, stepped on their foot or something. I mean, it's just people can't face reality here. And one of the problems with the stolen election is that the Democrats can't face it. The Democratic Party in Ohio won't deal with the issue that the voting machines are rigged here, and that no one's going to get a fair outcome. I mean, there was a referendum here in 2005 to have election reform, and the outcome was essentially impossible.
Right.
There was a bond issue number one, that the local conservative newspaper, which has an excellent polling operation, came within 0.5%. of, you know, exactly predicting how it had come out.
Mm-hmm.
The predictions on the election reform issue were 2 and 3, were that they would pass overwhelmingly, with pretty much similar percentages to the bond issue, which issue 1. And issue 2 and 3 were defeated, and the poll from the Dispatch was wrong by 30 points.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absurd. It's beyond absurd. It's impossible. And everybody knows now, with any sense at all, that they're flipping the elections here, and nobody's doing anything about it.
Yeah, there's a recent, what would we call it, a forensic statistical study that was completed that showed that the exit polls were accurate and that there are serious unexplained anomalies between the exit polling in various precincts and the published results.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's a kind way of putting it. But and the GAO, the Government Accountability Project office, has come out with a study, and they looked at the voting machines here and around the country. And they said basically it would take one person to flip an election. Anyone who has access to any kind of network that involves the voting machines can sit there with a laptop and plug in and flip a public election. It's ridiculous.
It sure is. So,
you know, what we're going to do about it, I'm not sure. We're going to have to keep publicizing it, and hopefully, you know, things do turn around. But this is a pretty deep mess. I mean, Americans are going to have to face the reality that we have to fight for free elections in this country.
Well, now you've got a real independent voice on the Supreme Court in Judge Alito. Certainly,
yeah.
We can get these
issues
before him.
Well, here's a guy who does
him.
Not believe in democracy. I mean, this guy should be a judge in you know, the old Soviet Union or in Iraq. You know, this man has no allegiance whatsoever to the Bill of Rights. And literally, you know, I don't know how many people listening have read the Bill of Rights lately. I strongly urge it. I teach U.S. history, and I spend at least one full class every quarter or semester doing nothing but examining the Bill of Rights. And it's an amazing document, and these people hate it. George W. Bush hates the Bill of Rights, doesn't believe in it at all, and now we have a Supreme Court packed with people who just are in opposition to the founding document of our nation. It's an amazing situation.
And what is the, is there any further complication from the Help America Vote Act in Ohio? Here in California, it's created a patchwork of messes in the 58 counties.
Well, you know, it's just more of the same. Mm-hmm. They're just pouring on as much as they possibly can, forcing electronic voting machines down the throats of the people. We have had, you know, people now are demanding paper ballots, which I think is going to be a big help. In some states, forcing nothing but paper ballots. I think we can have elections on paper ballots that can be fair. In Ohio, you know, we actually got a law that demanded a paper trail with electronic voting machines, and then House Bill 3, which we've been discussing, turned around and made the paper trail irrelevant by, you know, cutting off access to the electronic voting machines. Now, why would a government, why would a party want to prevent you from auditing an election if they didn't have something to hide? I mean, that's the real question here.
Yeah.
Why are they doing this? Why are they preventing people from voting? Why are they preventing people from monitoring the vote? Clearly, they don't believe they can do it on their own.
Harvey, just about 30 seconds remaining. Do you recommend that progressives in Ohio use the absentee ballot as a way to control their vote and keep it on paper?
Well, it helps. Of course, in Ohio in 2004, they sent out absentee ballots that didn't have John Kerry's name on them.
Oh.
And there were also absentee ballots sent out that were pre-punched for George W. Bush. So, you know, you do what you can, but there has to be a major overhaul here, or we're not going to ever have free elections in this country again. It's just, and people really have to come to grips with how serious the situation is. The Democrats are kidding themselves if they think they're ever going to get the White House again without dealing with this issue.
Well, you're absolutely right, Harvey. Thanks for alerting us to this. I appreciate you joining us today, and give my best to Bob Petraeus.
Yeah, freepress.org, and it's a great show, Peter. Keep up. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks again. My music may have drowned it out. Freepress.org is the website where you can read the article we just described about HB3 in Ohio sharply curtailing Democratic rights, especially to audit or recount a presidential vote. Coming up next, Native American activist John Trudell, the subject of a new film, joins us on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize at events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ballgame. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
This is it. This is the world we live in. What are we going to do about it? It's time to stop picking parasites off your friend's hairy back and become an engaged cerebral citizen. Yes, there is more to American youth culture than McDonald's, malls, MySpace, and corporate monopolies. We have got to do better than the current apes that are in the process of turning this country into a banana republic. But we need your help. Call in, tell your friends, and listen to The Naked Ape, Sundays on KRXA.
Listen live, Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, chefs, farmers, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by the Monterey County Growers and Vintners Association's 4th Annual Passport Weekend, February 17th, 18th, and 19th, travel the world without packing a suitcase.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show up and down the left coast. We're live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. We're live on KGOE 1480, serving Eureka, Arcata, and Humboldt County. I got to tell you a little story. About 12 years ago, I got a compilation CD called Born to Choose. And it was filled with songs for a pro-choice movement. I think it's for NARAL, the National Abortion Rights League. And there was a song on it that haunted me. And recently, I dug that CD out of the Peter B. Collins tax-deductible music archives to look for some tunes to play in opposition to the confirmation of Samuel Alito to the United States Supreme Court, an obviously pro-life individual. And so I dug this out. And I really like this song called Rant and Roll. And I noticed the name John Trudell. And then the other night I watched a powerful new biographical film about this man. And I was able to connect the music with the man.
All the rides are in your head.
Check this out.
The ticket is what is thought and what is said. Our attitudes are climbing. We don't have time for more mind-wasting lies. Whatever it is you're doing, we're not going to buy it. It's time to say something, not a time to be quiet. Rant and roll, heart speak from the spirit. Say it loud so everyone can hear it. Say what you mean what you say. Rant and roll when you feel that way.
John Trudell is a Native American of the Sioux Nation. He was a front and center activist during the occupation of Alcatraz Island on San Francisco Bay in the early 1970s, and he's the subject of this powerful new film that is opening tonight at the Red Vic Movie House in San Francisco and should make its way to other movie screens across the country over the next few months. John Trudell, it's a pleasure to talk with you. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thanks for having me.
I'm just curious about that song, Rant and Roll. I found it on this compilation CD. It was one of the catchiest tunes on there, but I never connected it to the guy who was really a major force in the American Indian movement 30 years ago.
Yeah, well, I'm not even sure if I can make the connection.
Do you remember that song, or was it
a track? Oh, yeah, no, I remember that song. Actually, we were... That's the opening cut to Johnny Damas and Me. The album Johnny Damas and Me.
Mm-hmm.
And we were recording the album, and then this idea came into my head about Rant and Roll. And so I wrote that, while we were recording the album, and then we included it.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't originally intended for the album because it didn't exist.
I see. Very interesting. Well, it really was powerful, and as I was watching the film, that Rant and Roll song just came back into my head, and the film is very powerful. It takes me back. As a Cub reporter, I was in Chicago in the early 1970s, and so I read about the Alcatraz situation and saw a little bit on TV, but I was not close at hand, and so a lot of the details were not available to me. But I was certainly well aware later of the action at Wounded Knee in South Dakota. And also, I did go to Gresham, Wisconsin. I believe it was in 1973 when Russell Means and Dennis Banks and others occupied a monastery there for...
Right, the Menominee takeover. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And I met those two gentlemen at the time, and it really opened my eyes as an American white guy to the issues that you were facing and the sincerity of the Native American movement, which was called AIM, A-I-M, the American Indian Movement at the time. And I'd like you to talk a little bit about that era and what you see as the legacy of the work that you and others did.
Well, I mean, to just kind of encapsulate what that whole time frame was, from Alcatraz to AIM, really it was, as Native people, we were taking a position to trying to communicate to the American government and the American people that it was an issue about law. There are five types of law. There's common law, criminal law, constitutional law, statute law, and treaty law. So the point we were trying to raise and still are trying to raise is that America has a legal responsibility to the tribes that they made these treaty laws with. It's not a moral or an ethical issue. It's a legal issue. And that if America truly is a nation of laws, they can't break these laws and still represent law. And that's a part of the consciousness we were trying to raise, because, I mean, we want to protect our culture and our resources and all of the things that we want to protect that's a part of our reality. But these legal agreements we made with the American government are supposed to be the legal guarantees that we will have these protections. So those were the issues that that's really what the issue we were addressing, no matter how it came up.
Mm-hmm.
The lasting effect that I think that we had from that time is, I think it made our consciousness, our spirit, stronger. See, I just think it made our spirit stronger as a people,
mm-hmm.
and which gives us the energy to continue to be able to deal with the things that we have to deal with.
Yeah, yeah. And you paid quite a price. You lost your wife and children, and you were subjected to a lot of the kind of activities that activists were victims of: the COINTELPRO operation, a repressive government, the siege of Wounded Knee. You personally lost a lot, and your people were penalized in many respects for the efforts you made to assert your rights.
Well, that's American history, isn't it? Kind of how it works.
Well, and unfortunately, we're in a very similar situation today. In the film, It's fascinating to see the occupation of the BIA, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, in Washington. And things haven't changed a bit. Gail Norton, who is the Republican Secretary of the Interior has appointed cronies who not only have contempt for the rights of Native Americans and the treaty obligations that you referred to a moment ago, John Trudell, but they're actively seeking to undermine the interests of Native Americans for corporations and other interests who want your land, want your resources, and want to essentially steal them from the tribes who are entitled to at least compensation, if not control, over these properties that are now nominally in the hands of the United States government.
Yes, I mean, well, I mean, that's, I just see that as the ongoing agenda that comes out of the American government. But what I find interesting about it is that they're doing it simultaneously. They're doing the same things to the citizens of America. That,
well, we've noticed.
You know, I mean, you know, so you have Bush instead of Nixon. Nixon wasn't a big fan of the individual liberties of the American citizens, you know. See, so it's interesting that the situation remains the same for all of us. That in issues of substance, nothing has really changed.
Yeah. I just want to notify my board operator, Joe. We're not going to go to a break yet. I want to play a song here, at least an excerpt of a tune called Crazy Horse, in which you explain your philosophy about the earth, and it is diametrically opposed to the philosophy of what is now known as the wise use movement, which is something we've covered on this program recently. Let's listen to a minute or two of this track from John Trudell, and this one's called Crazy Horse.
Crazy Horse, we hear what you say. One earth, one mother. One does not sell the earth to people walk upon. We are the land. How do we sell our mother? How do we sell the stars? How do we sell the air? Crazy Horse, we hear what you say. Too many people standing their ground. Standing the wrong ground. Predator's face, he possessed a race. Possession, a war that doesn't end. Children of God, feed on children of earth. Days people don't care for people. These days are the hardest. Material fields. Material harvest. Decoration on chain that binds. Mirrors gold. The people lose their minds. Crazy Horse, we hear what you say.
That's John Trudell and a portion of a song called Crazy Horse, and it's on a CD called Bone Days. And it's very evocative. John, talk about this a little bit, and again, the contrast between your relationship to the earth and what you see white Americans in their relationship to the earth. There's a telling line in there about children of God who don't respect the children of the earth.
Well, they feed on the children of earth.
Yeah, thank you.
But I'm not going to put it so much in a classification of white people. But I'm going to put it in a classification of the industrialized, colonized people. And it's like this technologic modern civilization, it has no spiritual affinity to the earth. It has no spiritual identity with the earth, no spiritual relationship to the earth. You know, but it's obvious all life comes from the earth. And I find it telling. Because we are a part of a spirit, we are physical entities in a spiritual reality, and it's like we're in an industrial mindset where the spirit of the human beings is diminishing, dying, so to speak, And that's manifesting in just in the way that the Western civil, the industrial civilization is attacking the Earth. It's almost like, you know, it's almost like there's an industrial insanity that's just pervasive everywhere, and no one is remembering, and recognizing what the real value of life is, what the real origin and source of life is. I mean, because we're made up of the Earth. We're physical, you know, we're made up of the metals, minerals, and liquids of the earth. We're shapes of the earth. And I just find it, to me, and what I call the definition of insanity, that we would attack our mother in this kind of a way and not show any respect. But when you look at the citizens of the industrial society, you know, they're not even conscious that this is going on. It's just like everybody's spiritual perception is being diminished and erased, and people are doing this unconsciously. People are being motivated by their fears and their doubts and their sense of powerlessness, and all of this overwhelming negativity kind of somehow separates people from seeing and understanding their spiritual relationship to life.
We're talking with John Trudell, Native American, activist, spoken word artist. He sings too. And he's the subject of this powerful new documentary, as I mentioned. It debuts tonight in San Francisco at the Red Vic Movie House and should be available on other screens and in your DVD shops coming up over the next few months. It's called simply Trudell. We'll pick up there as we continue in just a moment. If you have a question or comment for John Trudell, join us. Harvey Wasserman from Columbus, Ohio, sends his regards, John. He was on just before you here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, very good.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley, bringing you Talking Matters. You may already know me as the author of Voice Power and Whose Body Is It Anyway? Or maybe you've seen me on Oprah, CNN, Dateline, and Good Morning America, or heard my voice on The Simpsons. And now my show, Talking Matters, starts right here, Saturday, February 11th, 3 to 5 p.m. We're here to touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. Tune in to my Valentine special, February 11th at 3. It's full of laughter, tears, and great ideas. You'll hear couples with heart-pounding stories. We'll talk about the biochemistry of love hormones and the hot topic of emotional infidelity. Talking Matters, live streaming on the web and archived 24/7 at talkingmattersradio.org. So let's keep talking, Saturdays at 3 on KRXA 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is KRXA 540 News anchor Casey Lynch, inviting you to join us for a new program, Coach Casey's Call, Saturday mornings from 11 to noon. The show is dedicated to promoting local athletes and the teams they compete for. Coach Casey's Call features in-studio guests as well as listener phone calls, giving you an opportunity to join in the discussion and support the local sports scene. Join us Saturday mornings, 11 to noon, here on KRXA 540 AM for Coach Casey's Call.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show up and down the West Coast. My guest is John Trudell, the subject of a new film called Trudell. And here's a tune called Carry the Stone.
In the beauties of Babylon, a civilized behavioral notoriety. The more evil the empire, the more paranoid the society. Building to the new world order, we're expected to carry the stone. Emperor and the feeding class, human being being used up fast. Miners, keep on mining. Intelligence is the mother lode. Imagination as an energy source in this predator's way of dying. Defining how and what we think as we're led to the way to believe. Conditioned reaction we call thought. Our reality guides in how we perceive.
Powerful words from John Trudell. Again, that tune is called Carry the Stone. And I paused here right after this last line, our reality rides in how we perceive, because you talk about the New World Order. I infer that that's George Bush Sr. and the episode of our first foray into the Middle East. And perception management has been at the forefront of the Bush administrations and has been really developed into a high art form during this junior term of George W. Bush.
It includes all the things that are going on, but, you know, in a way, in reality, perception management started here when they created the democracy, and they said it was a majority rule system. And then they excluded the Indians, they excluded the women, they excluded the blacks, and they excluded the white men that didn't own property and had no taxable value. So only the land-owning white male got to participate in the majority-rule democracy. So I see some perception manipulation and management going on there, because they've convinced everybody that it's about majority rule.
Yeah.
See, so we're just in the latest form and incarnation of it.
Well, it's interesting. Last summer I was on a reservation in New Mexico, and I bought a T-shirt. And the T-shirt references the original Homeland Security.
Yeah.
And it has a picture, I think, of Sitting Bull on the front of it. And I'm curious, I hate that phrase, Homeland Security, because it really has a kind of a Germanic tone to it.
Yes.
But it's also offensive to, or I would assume it's offensive to you, because we're the immigrants here.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, what you're saying is true. And it's not so much that I look at it as being offensive. I just look at it, this is just a big piece of propaganda that they're just programming into the American consciousness, that by them creating this little police state apparatus, that it's going to bring security to the people of America. Because this little apparatus that they're programming into our consciousness, that someday this is what's going to be used against the American citizens when they realize their economic dreams are becoming more of a nightmare. You know, when resources and when certain things, when the crunch starts to come, they're putting all this stuff in place so they can contain their own citizenry. You know, and so I find it extremely dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, look, just as far as it's been implemented, I mean, you know, look at how the constitutional and individual liberties and rights, how they're being diminished.
Yeah.
In the name of this. You know, so the Homeland Security, and I understand, you know, that I think terrorism should be fought at all levels, but when I'm saying terrorism should be fought at all levels, you know, I think that we're victims of a certain level of economic terrorism in this country. When ExxonMobil makes, you know, record $10 billion or $8 billion profits when people were paying exorbitant prices for gasoline less than a year ago. You know, I call that economic terrorism because in the end, it makes a lot of poor people have to do without. It creates more poverty, et cetera. You know, so we've got, sure. So I think terrorism needs to be looked at and examined in all of its ramifications.
Indeed. Let me ask you about Jack Abramoff and what we know so far about the way he used and abused Native American tribes, many of which were trying to develop casinos and other gaming operations for survival, but often are used by the management companies and others who end up operating the casinos and skimming off much of the profit.
In some practical context here, when that whole sovereignty issue was decided about that the tribes had the right to have gambling casinos and stuff, you know, that issue wasn't decided until there were non-native peoples in position so that they were going to take a substantial amount of the economics that were derived out of this. You know, that went hand in hand with identifying the sovereignty thing.
Mm-hmm.
And with what Abramoff and them have done, you know, I mean, he's one player. The name, all the attention is focusing on him, but who were the other people that aided and abetted him and participated and reaped benefits? You know, so it goes beyond him. And again, it's another American history lesson, because any time the natives come up with something that represents an economic resource, there always comes the outsider to steal. And usually they're connected in some kind of a way to either religion or government.
Yeah. Well, John, it's really a pleasure to talk to you, and what you do is you provide a much larger context for the issues. You know, on a program like this, we focus pretty narrowly on things that are going on today, and when we talk about ancient history, you know, we're going back to the 2000 election.
Yes.
But you really offer a philosophy and a perspective that really goes beyond, I guess, the human life cycle and looks more at the big picture and the continuum.
Well, you know, one of the things about tomorrow, we can't get there without going through the past. And today is only a way of going. You know, it's just a reality of life to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, John, I want to thank you for joining us. Did they have to persuade you to make this film? Were you a reluctant celebrity here?
No, well, I don't know if I'm a celebrity. I didn't look at it like that.
Well, you're the center of the film.
But when Heather approached me about it, what it represented to me is that she's comes from a generation behind me. So I was interested in it. Well, how does the generation behind me, how do they perceive what happened?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was why I was open to this, because I wanted to see what had been learned.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad it has been produced. I want to recommend it to people. It's in San Francisco. Our listeners are in Monterey and in the North State, but I want to make them aware of it, because certainly sooner or later it's going to come to a screen near them or be available on DVD. And is there a website where people can get more information about you or the film?
TrudelTheMovie.com.
TrudelTheMovie.com.
Yeah.
John, thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks for having me.
Real pleasure to talk with you, and I'm the real winner today because your company sent me a whole stack of your CDs, and I look forward to listening to them.
Right on, man.
Okay.
Okay, take care.
Enjoy the premiere tonight.
Yes.
All right, that's John Trudell, a true American. I'm Peter B. Collins. Stay tuned for more right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay Area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Former President Bill Clinton speaks about the NSA's wiretaps on a CBS News exclusive.
I think other things being equal, it's better for us all to have some measure of accountability because nobody's immune from error.
In a storm-tossed Red Sea, the Salam 98 passenger ship rolls over and sinks.
It was a rust bucket. It was sold to us as a cruise ship, but it was the worst vessel we have ever been on.
And she's talking about her trip on that ship years back. This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Harley Carnes. It's a CBS News exclusive, the first comments from former President Bill Clinton on the NSA's program to track terrorist telephone calls in and out of the country. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer.
Former President Clinton clearly opposes warrantless wiretapping. While the administration contends he used warrantless searches, he tells CBS News he sought court approval for the action.
It's better for us all to have some measure of accountability because nobody's immune from error.
As for the Bush approach,
probably ultimately the Supreme Court will have to resolve that if there's litigation on it.
Do you think it's legal? Do you think it's constitutional?
I haven't researched it enough to know.
Mr. Clinton says the law requiring court approval was not an impediment to the up to 5 wiretaps he okayed each week, and he believes it should not be a problem now. Peter Mayer, CBS News, New York.
And now this message.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Ah, vacation.
Fees apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
Hey, it's me, Regis Philbin. Know what's great about hosting a national talk show? You hear the latest health and nutrition information. That's why I was surprised to find out that a great thing you can do to help promote a healthy heart comes from something I've loved my whole life, Welch's 100% grape juice. Yeah, the same delicious grape juice we all grew up on is actually good for your heart because Welch's is made from antioxidant-rich Concord grapes with no added sugar. It's even certified by the American Heart Association. Welch's 100% grape juice, the most delicious thing you can do for your heart.
Of the nearly 1,500 people reported aboard an Egyptian passenger ship, fewer than 400 have been rescued. CBS News correspondent David Hawkins is in Cairo.
One thing we do know from President Hosni Mubarak's spokesman is that the ferry didn't have enough lifeboats on board for the number of passengers that it was carrying, and there have been questions raised about the safety of this 35-year-old ship.
Sky News reporter Emma Hurd says families who wait for the word stand near the beach and look out on the implacable, hungry Red Sea.
As to the fate of the other passengers, more than 1,000 of them, there is no information. And as you can imagine, it is extremely frustrating for all of those people who've come here just waiting for news about their relatives. There have been some scuffles outside the port here. Soldiers and police have tried to seal off the area to keep the relatives away from the port side so they don't get anywhere near the waters there.
That ship, used as a daily ferry, was reportedly jammed with Muslim worshippers on their way home from their Hajj pilgrimage. Richard Mead is a shipping analyst.
Could be that these vessels are very high and heavy, with a lot of passengers on the top deck. In strong winds, they have been known to capsize before.
A new study says design changes on SUVs are saving lives in cars when they are T-boned by SUVs in crashes. CBS News correspondent Lou Miliano.
It doesn't take a lot of imagination to see what would happen to the people sitting in this low car when this tall SUV hits it, and why the Insurance Institute pushed for SUV design changes.
Their bumpers and energy-absorbing structure match up better with cars, or else they have what's called a secondary energy-absorbing structure that's usually down below and behind the bumper.
The Institute's Adrian Lund now reports a near 20% drop in fatalities and head-on collisions, a near 50% drop when SUVs hit the sides of these cars. Lou Maligano, CBS News, New York.
Lots of questions, no answers yet in the torching of 5 Baptist churches in central Alabama.
It's very unusual to have this many close together in this close of time proximity.
David Heisch, ATF agent in charge in that area. Jim Parker goes to Ashby Baptist.
we'll work very hard together to rebuild and go on with our mission that God has put us here to do.
Black churches and white churches were burned. No indication what's up. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hi, I'm David Orrick, and I'm proud that millions of my 8-pound Orrick XL vacuums are used around the world. What makes me really proud is that the Orrick XL Hotel Upright is produced right here in the good old USA. To try my American vacuum risk-free for 30 days, call me at 1-800-989-4200. And if someone tries to tell you that American products are second best, they obviously haven't tried my 8-pound Orrick XL. 1-800-989-4200.
Know the greatest phrase ever invented in shopping? No, it's not "I'll just wait in the car." The greatest phrase is "No thanks, I'm just looking." I mean, what freedom, what liberation, what a great way to buy car insurance. In fact, why not do some looking right now? Go to GEICO.com. It's quick, it's easy, and you could save hundreds. You know, saving money looks good on you. GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
President Bush in Albuquerque this
morning. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. This half hour, we're going to take a look at crooks and liars. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. That's an oldie from the 60s called Liar, Liar. And this half hour, we're going to... Well, thank you. Pants on fire. It's kind of funny. In the 2004 election cycle, Ben Cohen, one of the millionaires who put my love handles on me from Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream, he sponsored a couple of vehicles that drove around the country, and they were called the Pants on Fire Mobiles. And they just drive up and down the street and declare that George W. Bush is a liar. And I thought it was a very humorous way to get a political message across. And there is a great website. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to drop by, but it's Crooks and Liars, spelled out, crooksandliars.com. And our producer, Matt Renner, who's off today, had reached out to, I think, John Amato, who is the proprietor of the website, and invited him on the show. It didn't work out for whatever reason. But there's such good material on Crooks and Liars that I'm just happy to present it to you on its own, and we can have some fun with it. If you'd like to call the program, there's room for your call this half hour at 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540, toll-free. And coming up at 4:30, I want to introduce you to Joan Kenley. She's starting a brand-new radio show about relationships and personal issues, and all I'll tell you is that she has very little in common with Dr. Laura. So we'll be talking with her in the second half hour, but you're welcome to join us with any comment you'd like to make about issues in the news on the Peter B. Collins Show here this afternoon. Now, first up, the top item at Crooks and Liars at the moment, if you go to their homepage, is a new Nixon/Bush ad that makes some interesting comparisons between the man who famously said, "I am not a crook," that's Tricky Dick if you're not as old as I am, and the president who we believe is breaking the law. Let's listen to this new advertisement.
Claiming national security, Richard Nixon illegally wiretapped innocent Americans.
Well, when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
We put a law in place to protect innocent Americans, allowing the president to wiretap for national security, but requiring court approval within days. George Bush is breaking that law. Are you having trouble telling these men apart? We had a special prosecutor then. We need a special prosecutor now. MoveOn.org political action is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Very clever, MoveOn. I like that one. Now, I'm a guy who, I'll be honest with you, it does date me. But I was 19 years old, and I had a talk show in Chicago late at night when the Watergate story, the scandal, started to break. And so I was steeped in that in every dirty detail. And I do have to give Richard Nixon credit because his scandal and his ultimate demise led my show to the top of the ratings in Chicago and scared the hell out of the suits in the front office. They had no idea how I managed to do that. But it was an early success for me and also just a great lesson in American history, abuse of power, the way a president can overstep his bounds. And it was fascinating to watch as Nixon made these outrageous denials and very stout representations that he had never done anything wrong, he hadn't broken the law. Now, I have to say that in contrast, George W. Bush, who is using many of the same pages from the Nixon playbook, is much more sympathetic a figure. And I think the big difference is that he uses the fear card from 9/11 very effectively. If you watched even part of the State of the Union message the other night, you know that. And Nixon did not have that cover. Also, he was just such an obnoxious guy and even disliked by his political supporters that once it became apparent that Nixon was toast, people were eager to abandon him. With Bush, there's so many people who have been drinking the Kool-Aid and cashing those tax cut checks that they still don't appear to be willing to recognize the criminality of his actions. But I think that this MoveOn ad is very effective, and gosh, I hope they actually put it on television. Too many political ads these days don't actually get broadcast. They just get distributed, and, you know, the cable shout shows will play parts of them, and people like us will tell you about them, and websites will post them, but they don't reach the Oprah viewer. They don't reach the Wheel of Fortune viewer. And, gosh, if MoveOn has an extra $1.5 million laying around, they ought to try to run it on the Super Bowl Sunday. But, of course, the networks won't permit that because we don't want to get in, you know, politics in the middle of football and beer consumption. Another post here that's pretty powerful that I recommend, if you have the time, that you visit crooksandliars.com to read is another hit on Chris Matthews. And this one has some potential. It's written by a very outspoken congresswoman from upstate New York, Louise Slaughter, who is originally from the South. And so when you read the post, it opens with y'all, and that may seem odd for a congresswoman from New York State. But what she tells you in this post is that Chris Matthews, who has repeatedly on the air tried to play down the potential impact of the Abramoff scandal, and to my knowledge has never admitted his own connection to Jack Abramoff, well, Louise Slaughter is helping us out. If you read the post, what it tells you is that there was a fundraising event that Abramoff put together in 2002 or 2003, and they recruited Chris Matthews to be one of the MCs of the event, along with, of course, some people from Fox and other news channels. And what is interesting, too, is that this fundraising event was organized by the wife of California Congressman John Doolittle, who serves the state up in the northern portion, starting in Rockland near Sacramento and then up north to the border. I think it includes Redding and those communities in between. So this really does have some potential, because it could be that Chris Matthews is even more conflicted than he appears to be from our recent discussions of his comments on the air. Most recently, the way he absolved the Republicans just last night, saying that their change of leadership and bringing John Boehner in was a clean break with the corrupt past. And that simply isn't true. Boehner is tied into the lobbying, the K Street Project, and some of the dirty deeds of the Republicans as almost anybody else. And if you scroll down here on the Crooks and Liars website, there's a new post, and this is a Fox News Hannity and Combs interview with Pat Robertson. And he maintains that he still thinks it's a good idea to depose Hugo Chavez in Venezuela. Let's listen to the audio of this exchange on TV last night.
We got it.
Somewhere.
We got it somewhere.
You know, I don't know about this doctrine of assassination, but if he thinks we're trying to assassinate him, I think we really ought to go ahead and do it. It's a whole lot cheaper than starting a war.
And then you went and corrected it, and you said this. Here's your correction
line. I didn't say assassination. I said our special forces should, quote, take him out. And take him out can be a number of things, including kidnapping. There are a number of ways to take out a dictator from power besides killing him. I was misinterpreted by the AP, but that happens all the time.
You did say assassination. Was that a mistake?
I've got a wonderful news team. They did a five-minute analysis of Chavez. It was just brilliant. It ended with him saying, the United States is trying to assassinate me. And what I should have said was, we ought to accommodate him, and kept my mouth shut. Instead of that, I said, went ahead. And then I went on from there, and I said, well, the special forces should take him out. But my premise was, and this is so important, I don't like to go to war. I see young men maimed. You all were talking about that early in the show. You know, this cartoon is so obnoxious. We've spent $200, $300, $400 billion in Iraq. Wouldn't it have been better to have targeted Saddam Hussein? Wouldn't it have been better to have targeted Adolf Hitler? And I just think that we ought to wage war against the dictators.
Should Chavez be assassinated?
Well, one day he's going to be aiming nuclear weapons, and what's coming across the Gulf isn't going to be Katrina. Sure. It's going to be his nukes.
So would you feel better going back to the original comment that if he were assassinated, the world would be a safer place?
I think South America would. He has got hit squads. He's a very dangerous man.
So you're
man.
Not taking back the comment. You believe assassination of Hugo Chavez would be in the best interest of the world.
Rather than going to war, one day we're going to have to go to war, I'm afraid, if he continues his policy. You know, but I don't know.
That is amazing. That is truly amazing. This is a man who claims to be the Reverend Pat Robertson. And here he is making comparative morality comments. That, well, rather than go to war, sure, it's okay to kill these despots. And I don't consider Hugo Chavez in the category of Saddam Hussein. He does. That's one of his faults. But to advocate assassination, and as a man who claims to be Christian, saying that this is a good moral choice, absolutely repugnant. Reprehensible. I'd like to hear your comments. There are lines open for you right now. 831-899-572 Central Coast. Toll free from anywhere. 1-888-579-2540. Can't we just get along, Hugo? You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo certified and factory trained technician with over 16 years experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family operated full service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
Galante Vineyards cordially invites you to their free wine futures open house from 1 to 5 p.m. on February 4th. Sample their upcoming wines directly from the barrel. Secure your future in Galante's fabulous wines and save 20%. The winery is located at 18181 Kachawa Road, just a short drive from Carmel Valley Village. RSVP at 1-800-GALANTE or just stop by and say hi. For complete directions, more information on the open house, or to read about Galante Vineyards, visit the web at galantevineyards.com.
Life's journey is both exciting and challenging. There are times when we all need a knowledgeable and caring guide to assist us along our life's path. If you or someone you know is facing retirement, let Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources provide you with the insightful and reasoned assistance that can only be obtained by many years of dedicated study and professional experience as a certified estate planner. Michelle Ashen will show you how to create and grow wealth, how to protect and preserve your life savings. She'll show you how to distribute a portion of your life savings in the most tax-advantaged way while you are living, and how to facilitate the distribution of the remainder of your life savings in the most tax-advantaged way when you pass away. Let Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources share with you the benefit of her specialized knowledge and expertise. Make the most of your life and life savings. Call Michelle Ashen for a free consultation, 641-0236. That's 641-0236. KRXA 540 checks your traffic on the Friday escape route. Let's check in with Stephen Taylor, Metro Traffic.
And the California Highway Patrol is on the way to several incidents and accidents. Santa Cruz southbound Highway 1 and Highway 17, a vehicle in the left lane in the hook. In Soquel, 41st Avenue at Corey Street, an injury accident. A pair of vehicles came together, an ambulance on the way there. Felton, Highway 9 at Hines Street, a couple of Toyotas crashed together. And in Prunedale, southbound 101 before Morrow Road, accident with a couple of vehicles reportedly involved. This report sponsored by TomTom. TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. Stephen Taylor with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Stephen. We'll check back with you in about a half hour. And every weekday morning, Casey's got your traffic on the Stephanie Miller Show right here on KRXA 540. You got the Peter B. Collins Show in your ear. This is our second outing today. I hope I don't wear out my welcome. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to meet Joan Kenley, host of a new radio talk show on the Monterey station KRXA that kicks off a week from tomorrow. And in the 5 o'clock hour, our weekly visits with Brad Friedman of bradblog.com and Assemblyman John Laird of Santa Cruz. In the meantime, call me, 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540. We'll pick up a call here in just a second, but two items that are on my screen I want to mention to you. One is Arianna Huffington never ceases to delight me, and it's always a kind of ironic thrill because I originally connected her to her closeted gay husband, Michael Huffington, who dumped $35 million of his daddy's oil fortune into smearing Dianne Feinstein, not my favorite senator, but nonetheless a terrible campaign in the early 90s. And I always linked her with that. She was the Hillary to Mike Huffington's Bill. And so her Huffington Post is a great blog, website, portal, whatever you want to call it. And she sends me a teaser email every week. It just arrived. And this fulfills what I said just the other day, that when the Democrats put this new governor, Tim Kaine from Virginia, up as the responder to the State of the Union message, they made a serious blunder. And here is the response we should have heard. Today, Jack Murtha delivered a killer Democratic response to Bush's State of the Union address, filled with passion, insight, perspective, and loads of specific details. Yep, that's what we should have seen. Also, less flattering, I want to direct you to the San Francisco Chronicle. You could buy it in a newsstand or read about it online at sfgate.com. They have a weekly political column by a woman who I've never talked with and don't particularly care to because she seems really smarmy. Her name is Jill Stewart. And I want you to read the piece because it's about the upcoming primary between two Democrats, Phil Angelides and Steve Wesley. They're vying for the nomination to take on Governor Schwarzenegger in November. I have respect for each of these men, and I have not made a decision myself on which one I prefer. I'm waiting to see the campaign take shape and see what the issues really develop for these two men. But as I said, I have a high regard for either one of them, for each of them, and I think that she mischaracterizes each of these men in her article, as she clearly favors Steve Wesley and thinks that he's a more conservative, less dangerous because, well, Phil Angelides has actually said he would raise taxes on the wealthy if he's elected governor of California. To your calls now, we got Billy from Santa Cruz, Capitola. Hello, Billy. Nice to talk to you again. It's been ages.
Oh, my, I miss you so.
Yeah. Hey, before you get to your point, I got to ask you something, because the other caller on the line right now is Dennis from King City, and he tipped me off the other day that you got through to Chris Matthews. Was it on KGO?
It was.
Tell me about it.
I got to tell both Chris Matthews and Ron that they were both in the tank for Bush. You should have heard him squawking.
Yeah? Tell me about it.
Yeah, it was great. You know, basically I started out with Chris just telling him how embarrassing I felt for him from his interview with DeLay, where he started out the interview with the sentence, "Well, you're clearly not in it for the money. Why do you do it? Why do you run for office?"
And how did Chris respond?
He basically decided that his safest place to go was, he said, "Well, you know, I'm against the war, aren't I?" And I went, "Not enough." And, you know, that was it. That was the end of the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, from my end.
Okay. Well, thanks for getting in there.
It was good to tell Chris that, just that he needs to know that we don't think he's still doing the job.
Yeah.
I asked him if he was asked to move to the right because Chris Oberman was on the left and they could only stand the one.
Uh-huh.
He didn't answer that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. So what did you call about this time?
Well, you know, Pat Robertson actually ran for president.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And,
88.
And then that's the point. These people who get their knowledge out of a book that's 2,000, 3,000 years old, like the big story today is the Muslims who are upset because of the cartoon.
Right.
Well, you know, get over it. It's if you actually believe that, because it says in your book, I can't say something about your Moses or your Jesus or your Muhammad, you're effing crazy, and you don't belong in this country. You need to understand that we don't have to respect each other. That isn't what you have to do in America. You got to live together, and that means that when you don't like what somebody says, you don't get to kill them. You don't get to have more respect for a book or a dead prophet than you do lives today. How can we possibly respect you people?
Well, I understand your point. It does become difficult, A, because it's not limited to one country. This started out in Scandinavia,
Yeah. And
the reaction appears to be brewing almost, you know, throughout the Islamic world. And I understand your point, Billy. I don't dispute you in the least. I really think that, you know, there is a place for respect, and
but
at the same time,
so.
There is a place for free speech. And, you know, there's nobody who is forcing a devout Muslim to look at this cartoon.
And, you know, there's no place in Islam, it would appear, for respect for other people's religion. I'll remind you of this. You heard someone tell you the other day that they got their Bible taken away when they came in to Saudi Arabia. We know that the Taliban, those super Islamists, literally exploded with cannon fire a Buddha, one of the mm-hmm. great giant Buddhas of somebody else's religion. This is just hypocrisy, and people of the book, no matter what your book is, you don't deserve respect, and you're not going to get it. Let's all try to be towards the same middle. Let's make a secular America, because whether you're a Christian or a Jew or an Islamist, you're wrong about the nature of the universe, and you're really wrong to think you get to attack people over it. Thanks, buddy.
Okay, and maybe these people who live by the book have to go on Oprah and defend what they call their truths. Oh, it's just a memoir. Dennis, sorry we didn't get to your call. We'll get you next time around. Coming up in just a moment, you're going to meet Joan Kenley. She's the host of a brand new program coming up on KRXA. It debuts a week from tomorrow. We'll tell you about it. And next hour, it's Brad Friedman from bradblog.com and our weekly visit with Assemblyman John Lehr, the Democratic Assemblyman and chair of the State Assembly Budget Committee. He's from Santa Cruz. He'll be on with us coming up at about 5:45. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, up and down the left coast.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's tax time again, and there's one Progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville. Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540. Sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances, giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass.
With no sugarcoating, if you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
This is it. This is the world we live in. What are we going to do about it? It's time to stop picking parasites off your friend's hairy back and become an engaged cerebral citizen. Yes, there is more to American youth culture than McDonald's, malls, MySpace, and corporate monopolies. We have got to do better than the current apes that are in the process of turning this country into a banana republic. But we need your help. Call in, tell your friends, and listen to The Naked Ape, Sundays on KRXA.
Listen live, Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. It's 4:33 on this Friday afternoon. Let's talk. Talk, talk, talk. There's a new program coming on KRXA a week from tomorrow called Talking Matters with Joan Kenley. And the host of that new program joins me this afternoon. Hello, Dr. Joan Kenley.
Well, hello, Peter B. Collins.
How are you doing today?
Well, doing just great. Absolutely great. We saw the sun a little bit this afternoon in Oakland, so I'm a happy girl.
Well, it does help during the dreary winter weather.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very excited about the new program that you are launching, and I'd like to just start off by putting it in context and in contrast, because whether people listen to Dr. Laura or some of the other programs that are out there that relate to personal relationships and intimate issues, the tone of those programs has always bothered me, because it's often so judgmental, and
the
people who call into the program appear to be used as props, kind of disposable tearjerkers who present their stories for consumption by the audience and disposition by the judge and jury in the form of the host. And your program isn't anything like that, is it?
No, actually, I consider this program a conversation among intelligent people who really want to listen to each other and want to learn, want to have an aha when the program is over, strong enough to take that conversation further into the family, into your workplace. We really want to get people excited. We want active listeners, and we want people to just love hearing the kinds of stories we want to put on the air. It's really a different kind of program. I couldn't name anything on the air that comes close to what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be on Saturday afternoons on KRXA. And for our listeners in Eureka, you'll be able to access it on the web stream at KRXA540.com. So don't feel left out. And I'll talk to Tom Seaborn and see if he wants to add the show to KGOE on Saturday afternoon. But I think that's an interesting time period when people can sit back and they're not on their weekday schedule and running to soccer practice, at least hopefully not every Saturday afternoon, and give a chance to think about the issues that we often don't have much time to reflect on.
I've been in many circumstances in the last years in my psychological practice and with women's circles and with seminars, and all of these venues find that if you allow yourself to stay in conversation for more than an hour on one subject or several subjects that really touch your heart, something changes in you. Now, wouldn't it be great if a radio show gives you that opportunity to be in that space from your own home? I mean, wow.
Yeah, or even in your car.
And it doesn't cost anything. It doesn't cost anything.
And you can hop on a bicycle and listen on your headsets if you want. I mean, there are a lot of ways to enjoy a program like that. Well, let's first identify who Dr. Joan Kenley is. Now, I know you don't use the doctor honorific a lot, but it's important to note that you have a Ph.D.
I do. I have a Ph.D. in psychology, but my first work was on helping people with their speaking voice. And mm-hmm. I'm from Ohio, and I know you were talking to Wasserman earlier today from Ohio.
Yep.
Very interested in the Ohio politics. But coming from Ohio, you don't often sound that good. And I went to New York to become an actress first. And I talk like this. I was from Ohio, and I just would want to jump off that roof all the time. And I thought I had no accent. I mean, excuse me. And so I really had to work very hard to get rid of it when people said, gee whiz. And then I had to change the sound of my voice, and that took some years to develop my own technique. So when I found out it could help others, I wrote my book, Voice Power. And so there are many changes you go through from your beginning to your middle years that you find very, very interesting. And when you're telling us earlier that you were 19 years old when you were on the air in Chicago during the Nixon administration, I said, well, gee whiz, what was I doing then? I was producing shows in Washington, D.C., near politics but not involved in politics.
Mm-hmm.
But
just a quick aside, when I was 19 in Chicago, my voice was very different, and I would not be happy to trot out tapes of that at this point in my life.
So we both took that journey.
Yep.
That's good. And we're both still around talking. In fact, that's what the show is called, Talking Matters. And so I do bring a rich background of working with thousands of people individually and in groups and observing people with my husband, who's a business consultant, and working spiritually with people from a wonderful teacher here in the Bay Area. So we really want to touch everybody's mind, heart, body, and soul, and that's what's so exciting. We don't leave any part of you out.
Mm-hmm. Now, Joan Kenley, you and I became acquainted because we've been active in the performers union called AFTRA,
yes.
And they're sitting on our pensions, which I think that was one of my incentives to get involved in union activities and get elected to whatever posts I held over the years. And you also are very well known as a voice talent.
Yes.
And I think many people who use voicemail probably can now, having heard you on this conversation, connect you with the disembodied voice that says, press 2 to save.
Well, actually, I do say that many times a day all over the world. I'm the SBC Message Center voice in California, so to retrieve your messages, press 1. And then on the East Coast, the Verizon Information Services are my voice as well. And then Nortel's Meridian Mail is all over the world, and I'm in many, many hotels,
right.
Some elevators, grocery stores. For a while, I was in cars. I sort of choked that out because that was not a good choice for people to have talking cars. Didn't work, didn't last.
Mm-hmm. I've done a little bit of that, too, but not nearly as extensively. I believe my voice still dispatches telephone repair people in Michigan.
Oh, that's a good thing.
At one point, I was on the Black & Decker hotline to call for a retail store near you,
And I did a Mitsubishi fasten your seatbelt thing.
There you go.
I remember that. And then, Joan, I was stunned one time because I was changing planes in Miami, and I had completely forgotten about this script I had read, you know, late one night on a stack of other scripts.
Yes.
And I heard this voice that sounded just like me saying, "The coach is about to get underway. Please get your hands and legs out of the doorway."
I did the same thing in a hotel once. I was at a Sheraton hotel, and I heard this voicemail, and I said to myself, "Gee, that's a nice voice." And I thought, "Sounds an awful lot like mine." And then I said, "For God's sakes, it is mine." So,
and did you ever discover any work that you did that had not been currently paid up, either listening to the radio or watching TV, and say, "Aha, I've got to call my agent"?
Well, frankly, my son has told me that I'm the telephone voice in the movie Sideways, and I haven't had a chance to pursue that. So one of these days I will TiVo through Sideways and see whether that really is my voice or not.
I'm going to have to check that out. I enjoyed that movie for two reasons. I shared Paul Giamatti's pain to Pinot Noir.
Yes.
He gave a soliloquy there, and I love California Pinots, and he just, what he said is what I feel. And then that one scene where he said, "Well, I'm not drinking Merlot."
That was so good.
That really really fit for me.
That touched you where you live.
Now, Joan Kenley, you also got featured on a couple of episodes of The Simpsons.
Not a couple. I was on three episodes
of The Simpsons.
And, in fact, when they found out I was a real person, they were so happy. They thought voicemail was a computerized voice, which those many years ago it certainly could not have been technically done, but they found me, and they hauled me down to L.A., gave me the famous Simpsons jacket where all the characters are sewn on in exactly the right place. My name, Joan, is on the jacket, and I was always the phone lady, but you see, you can't get one of those jackets unless you actually have put your voice on their show. So if I wear that jacket in airports, it's a great mail stopper. I can get any man in the airport to stop me and ask.
Do they ask you if you know Harry Shearer?
Oh, they ask me everything.
Yeah, he's an incredible talent.
And I'd say
contributes a lot of the great voices on that show.
Oh yes,
and I have to tell you something. As my stepson was growing up, one of our television appointments every week for over 10 years was The Simpsons, and it was so rewarding to share the laughs, but also the reference points, because he learned a lot about recent American history and you know, events and attitudes and celebrities or high profile people from the jokes on The Simpsons.
Oh, it's a brilliant show.
And after each episode, you know, we'd kind of deconstruct, and I'd say, "Well, you know, Mr. Burns, he's kind of a composite for evil corporate America."
Yeah, exactly.
And so it was, I have to say, that and Seinfeld in the 90s when David was growing up were two of the shows on TV that we really enjoyed together. And I just think that is something that really can be kind of special about TV that's different from so much of the exploitive programming out there.
Without question, and I think that's what this radio show, Talking Matters, is going to try to do, is bring people of all ages in the family together to see what people are resistant to talking about in the family, or to a brother or a sister, or to a worker, to say what opens the conversation, what are the questions that are safe to ask, what is the wording that you don't get into trouble with, and will somebody pound on me if I really want to open the door to conversation about sexuality, or what I'm afraid about, or what is really my weak point, or when don't I have courage, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Joan Kenley. We're going to take a quick break. As she mentioned, she's got a new program that debuts a week from tomorrow on KRXA in Monterey. It'll be available on the website at KRXA540.com for listeners who are outside the Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz area. And if you'd like to call and give her some ideas for topics that you would like to hear discussed on Talking Matters with Joan Kenley, here's a perfect opportunity. You can get on the line right now, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast. That's a local call, 831-899-5792, or toll-free, 888-579-2540. We'll continue with Joan Kenley in just a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, chefs, farmers, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by the Monterey County Growers and Vintners Association's 4th Annual Passport Weekend, February 17th, 18th, and 19th, travel the world without packing a suitcase.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley, bringing you Talking Matters. You may already know me as the author of Voice Power and Whose Body Is It Anyway? Or maybe you've seen me on Oprah, CNN, Dateline, and Good Morning America, or heard my voice on The Simpsons. But now I can invite you to join me on my own show, Talking Matters, starting right here, Saturday, February 11, 3 to 5 p.m. We'll talk about matters that touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. We'll explore your dreams, secrets, hopes, and sorrows. How are you really dealing with today's world? Do you ever feel overwhelmed? Tune in for inspiring stories, useful ideas, and surprising ahas. Talking Matters, live streaming on the web, and archived 24/7 at talkingmattersradio.org. So let's keep talking, Saturdays at 3 on KRXA 540.
Tom Hartman.
The stuff that happened under the Clinton administration, they would have him out on the White House lawn, drawn, quartered, and being eaten alive by red ants right now.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
What you have is a White House press corps that is absolutely cowed. We have now gone from news to infotainment, and because it's now an entertainment industry, if covering a missing white girl in Aruba is going to make more profit than talking about body armor, then they're all for it.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic now at 447. Here he is, Senor Esteban Taylor.
Esteban, all right. In Aroma, San Juan Road, west of 101, accident on the right shoulder. Two vehicles involved. CHP is on the scene, and tow trucks are on the way. Felton Plateau Drive at Ada Avenue, an accident reported. CHP there, too. And Soquel, still dealing with an injury accident at 41st Avenue at Corey Street with a couple vehicles involved. This report sponsored by TomTom. TomTom Go is your portable everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. Stephen Taylor with traffic on KRXA 540.
Got 19 seconds to go. Can you give us the Spanish translation, Esteban?
I don't think so. I don't think that'll be happening.
All right, we'll check back with you about 5:15.
All right.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Joan Kenley. She's the host of a new program that debuts a week from tomorrow. That is the 11th of February. It'll be a Valentine's theme, Talking Matters with Joan Kenley. And Joan, let's start now talking about how you moved into the field as a psychologist and what kind of conversations and counseling you did over those years.
Well, it's very interesting. I sort of didn't come into this life thinking I'd ever be a psychologist. And I was performing, and then I was doing voiceovers. And one producer said, would you teach my girlfriend to fix her voice? It was that crude. I mean, carefully spoken here. But I found out I had a method, and I was able to do it. But the interesting thing, Peter, was that people, when they changed their breath and started to change their voice, had a tendency to tell me all their problems when, you know, that wasn't really what I was prepared for.
Really?
And so I was a good listener, and I was actually naturally helpful to all of these people. But I found that to change, you know, your voice, you're going to have to change your life to a degree. You become more of who you are, and that is a process. So I decided that I would get a degree in psychology just to be a better voice teacher. And then it became very clear that that was a talent I had. And so one day somebody said to me, you know, would you refer me to a therapist? And I said, well, I have my PhD, and I think it's a direction I'd like to take in my life as well as being a voice coach. And there I was in practice, and I found it so rewarding. I really have to say that it really informed my life in ways that would never have been informed, and it made me a larger thinking person, gave me a greater landscape to use my talents, and I loved having three or four careers. It was a gift for me to broaden my horizons and my thoughts and my feelings. It was so wonderful to have people change and grow and become successful as a result of the work they were doing with me.
And,
fabulous. And in
that practice as a psychologist, did you consider it a traditional therapy, or did you approach it in your own manner?
I had my own way of doing it because basically having been a communicator and someone that works with the voice, I had a method of working with people in dialogue and conversation that was somewhat different, and it was a very body-oriented psychology. In other words, if your heart is broken, how does it feel? Is it like iron or like somebody put a fist through your heart, or do you feel like your heart is shattered like glass? And if it does, be curious and interested in how that feels, and then let's see what happens next. And if you're going into an audition, for instance, or if you're going to give a speech, these are the ways to calm down. This is the way to breathe. Sense your arms and legs. Be more three-dimensional in your body, and we have ways to do that. And these are things over the years that I've shared with thousands of people, and now the radio audience will have a chance to hear some of these tips and tools as well, and we'll have the website tips and tools also on joankenley.com. So we're going to give the audience a lot on this show.
Mm-hmm. And Joan, I know that you have confidential relationships with some of the people who you give voice coaching and other counseling to. And so without compromising that, you have worked with a number of leading political candidates to help them not only with their speech and presentation, but with their overall, well, you describe it. How do you mix the voice and the elocution with the presentation of one's persona?
Well, frankly, I don't work a lot on elocution. Excuse me, I can speak, can't I?
Mm-hmm.
Elocution is not my field as much as getting the sound of the voice changed. And when the voice is really working properly, you don't have to worry about the word elocution. But what my main focus is on, what is your charisma? What is your body heat? What gets people to be turned on by what you say? And if you keep people in the dark about who you are, the body heat is never coming forward. You have to have warmth in your eyes, in your face, in your heart. You have to move as if you are connected to yourself in a fully developed way. And if you're wooden and closed off, it's not going to bring in the votes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have worked very successfully with many winning candidates, and it's been really a wonderful opportunity for me to feel that I'm more part of what's happening in the country, and getting my foot in another door always makes things interesting to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. Joan Kenley is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. As we mentioned, her new show, Talking Matters with Joan Kenley. It's so new, I had to look at my list here.
Right.
Debuts a week from tomorrow on KRXA 540. Now, you're also the author of Whose Body Is It Anyway? And you were kind enough to send a copy to me when I talked a little bit about the challenges of menopause in my relationship. And I'd like you to tell our listeners a little more about the origins of the book and what you covered.
Well, I covered really what happens when women do go into menopause, but I also talk about health in a broader way, so that I found my nieces love the books, and they're in their teens. So I say it's for women 25 to 105, so that you know what's happening in your body early on, and as we progress through life. We wouldn't really live longer than, you know, 50 years. A couple hundred years ago, that was our lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're looking at now is that we're living twice as long. So we have to know how to put fuel in our body that makes this second part of our life really healthy, delicious, exciting, and sexy. And I wanted to write a book that was in real language, that was conversational again, rather than putting a lot of medical terms in, because women can't grok that as well as a conversation that says, well, you know, if you really feel crummy, talk to other women about it, network your doctors, and read a few things about it here in this book that are simple and easy to understand, but also very well researched, with deep background. I had a fabulous advisory council, and so I felt very good about getting the great reviews that we got for the book, and many women have been served by it. So that was another little foray into another subject that I didn't expect. Except menopause hit me blindsided. I almost died by hemorrhaging and going to the hospital six times in 3 months. I'll get the story right. And when you almost die from something, you really change how you think about life. And so it opened a whole new vista for me to look and contemplate about that choice that day when I was alone and bleeding to death to decide to call 911 when I was so sick of being in the hospital. That was a turning point for sure.
Well, I have to say that for me, one of the great surprises of middle age has been the impact on the change of life and just how complex it can be and how hard to read it can be from one day to the next.
Oh, without question. And we have to relearn ourselves as women. And actually, I think when we come out of the period of change of life, we actually find we have a changed life, and it can be new and exciting and a different frontier from any that we expected. And we have an ownership that is hopefully moving toward wisdom, and that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Now, that's the book that got you on Oprah, right?
No, actually, Voice Power got me on Oprah.
Oh, it was Voice Power, okay.
Yes, it was about women being assertive, and there I was being assertive. So, yes, that was in 92.
Oprah's got a hell of a voice. You didn't have to give her any coaching, did you?
No, I certainly didn't. In fact, I complimented her on her voice on the show because she has this voice that has this attraction and warmth and roundness. It's a body voice. That's what my Voice Power book calls a voice that comes from using every part of your body to communicate what you feel, want, think, and know.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't jump the couch.
No, I didn't jump the couch. I did not. I couldn't accuse me of that. No, no, no.
It's interesting. For Christmas, somebody gave me some flashcards of hip lingo that is used by young people today. And I learned, to my fascination, that in 2005, one of the hot new hip phrases was jump the couch, which originated from Tom Cruise's appearance on Oprah, where he got all worked up and was, you know, challenging psychiatry and medications and that sort of thing.
Oh, he has made a name for himself in another direction. I mean, you know, the Matt thing from the Today Show as well. I mean, he's on his high horse for some reason. I'm not sure why. But Oprah handles all of this stuff really well.
Mm-hmm. Well, Joan, it's been great to visit with you, and I'm going to invite you back next week to people another invitation to listen to Talking Matters with Joan Kenley. And when we reconvene next week, we'll talk in some detail about the first show, give people a taste of what's going to happen, and also invite them again to communicate with you if they have any ideas about topics or issues that they would like to hear aired out on Talking Matters with Joan Kenley. Yes. And in the meantime, they can visit your website, joankenley.com, right?
Spelled K-E-N-L-E-Y. And frankly, the first two shows are going to be Valentine shows with really interesting couples and nice chatter and all kinds of good information for the couples out there. But on the website, the show, I'm so glad to see it up there, Peter, says that the show's about relationships. Well, it's a whole lot more than just relationships. Mm-hmm. So maybe we can fix that on the website.
You bet. Just send us some information. We'll get that up there real soon.
Thanks.
Joan, thank you very much. We'll talk again next week.
No problem, and thank you, Peter. You're a doll.
Okay, that's Joan Kenley. The new show debuts, as we mentioned, a week from tomorrow. Coming up next, our weekly visit with Brad Friedman, the proprietor of bradblog.com. And we're going to have a little fun at Ann Coulter's expense, if you don't mind. Also next hour, our weekly chat with Assemblyman John Lehrer, the Democrat from Santa Cruz. We'll get his take on Wesley versus Angelides for governor coming up later this year. It's all ahead right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Want quality repairs and great service at a fair price? Then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo certified and factory trained technician with over 16 years experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family-operated full-service Volvo repair shop where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Dave Barrett. Get a warrant, then get a wiretap. That's the way it's supposed to work legally in the domestic surveillance business. Former President Bill Clinton spoke exclusively today with CBS News.
I do think it's important for the government to be able to listen to the telephonic communications of terrorists. It's important, but I don't know why there's anything wrong with this law. I never found anything wrong with it.
Correspondent Peter Mayer sat down with the 42nd president at his Harlem office today.
Former President Clinton stops short of directly criticizing the Bush administration's warrantless wiretapping, but he says there is nothing wrong with the law that requires court approval. He says the 3 to 5 wiretaps that he signed off on each week when he was in office were approved by the Secret Intelligence Court.
Weather may have been a factor. The ship may also have been top-heavy. It capsized in the Red Sea early today on the way from Saudi Arabia to Egypt. CBS's David Hawkins says there may be hundreds of casualties.
As you can imagine, a lot of their relatives have gone to the port town of Safaga, where the ship was scheduled to arrive this morning, to find out whether their loved ones have survived. So far, only 314 people have survived this accident. There were more than 1,400 people on board the ship.
Back in the States, 5 churches in close proximity were damaged or destroyed in Alabama. They burned in Bibb County, roughly 25 miles south of Birmingham. Arson is suspected. Bibb County DA Michael Jackson promises,
"We want to assure the public that the perpetrators of this cowardly act will be brought to justice."
No arrests, though. If bumpers match when vehicles smash, you may have a better chance of surviving. That's what insurance experts say when it comes to SUVs. Here's CBS's Lou Miliano.
You see them out here on the road all the time. Look over there. Below the end of that trailer truck, rear impact guards keeps a crashing car from sliding underneath there. Shows you what can happen when bumpers don't meet. And why the Insurance Institute's thrilled with the effect of SUV design changes on crash fatalities.
For car occupants who are in head-on crashes with SUVs, we see an 18 to 21% reduction.
The Institute's Adrian Lund says better yet, a near 50% drop when an SUV hits the side of a car. Lou Maligano, CBS News, New York.
Wall Street, the Dow was down 58 points today. The FBI says back in 2000, a North Carolina mother picked up her 3 kids at their father's home. A boy was left at a hotel, but the 2 girls went missing. They were not returned to their dad's place as a court order required. This week, a police officer in Lillington, North Carolina, became suspicious during a traffic stop. The mother, Joyce Linda Murray Stain, was arrested. The 2 girls have now been reunited with their father 6 years after they left. This is CBS News.
You know, I'm a busy gal who likes to travel a lot, so I'm not about to pass up a great deal. Thank goodness for Econolodge and Roadway Inn Hotels. You'll earn double stamps toward free nights with the Easy Choice Rewards program. And soon, the free nights are adding up faster than your husband can ask, "Honey, where are my keys?" Call 800-4-CHOICE or visit choicehotels.com for the best rate guaranteed. We'll see you there.
Earn 2 stamps per night for qualifying stays between 2-1 and 4:30-06. Maximum 10 stamps per stay. For details, visit choicehotels.com.
Hi, I'm David Oreck. My vacuum is not for everyone. Only 9 out of 10 people who try an Oreck buy an Oreck. 9 out of 10. My new Oreck XL upright with the violet blue dirt search cleans faster, lasts longer, and weighs only 8 pounds. Try it free in your home for 30 days. If you don't love it, you don't keep it. Call 1-800-989-4200 and shipping and handling is free. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
With Super Bowl 40 coming up, Pittsburgh is favored by a field goal, maybe a little more, over Seattle. But WTOP's Paul Brandis says some people may wager on just about anything and even mix their sports.
Here comes Kobe. Got it! Oh, man!
If you think NBA star Kobe Bryant will score more points Sunday than the total score of the Super Bowl, you can put your money where your mouth is. Remember, though, the Lakers guard scored 81 points the other night. Want to stick to just football? Okay, who'll win the coin toss? A 50-50 shot there. And who'll score the first touchdown? 19-5 says it'll be Seahawks star Sean Alexander. By the way, if you don't know what 19 to 5 means, odds are you're better off just mixing the drinks on Sunday.
I bet this guy's in trouble. A man who, for some unexplained reason, drove his car up a dozen steps at the Rhode Island State House. He backed down and parked. Then cops took him away. The man's mother was with him in the car. No explosives were found. The only potential weapon? A pair of scissors. I'm Dave Barrett, CBS News.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah, with TurboTax we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Ah, vacation.
Fees apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
Hey, it's me, Regis Philbin. Know what's great about hosting a national talk show? You hear the latest health and nutrition information. That's why I was surprised to find out that a great thing you can do to help promote a healthy heart comes from something I've loved my whole life, Welch's 100% grape juice. Yeah, the same delicious grape juice we all grew up on is actually good for your heart. Because Welch's is made from antioxidant-rich Concord grapes with no added sugar. It's even certified by the American Heart Association. Welch's 100% grape juice, the most delicious thing you can do for your heart.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I am your humble host, Peter B. Feeling pretty good, considering this is my sixth hour of live radio today. Gives me a new appreciation for how hard Tom Hartman works. I sat in for Tom on his national show this morning, and you may or may not know that each day before the 9 o'clock West Coast start of his show, he has already completed 3 hours of local radio in Portland, Oregon. Up at the crack of dawn. Now that's the hard part. I wouldn't be up for that. No technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road to hell. And what a topsy-turvy week it's been. I mean, just a week ago, there was a hopeful feeling sweeping the nation, or at least sweeping my nation, that we were going to get a filibuster of the Alito nomination. And my buddy Brad Friedman, the proprietor of bradblog.com, joins us on the show this afternoon. He and I worked on the Young Turks Radio Marathon, the filibuster marathon last weekend, trying to auger up more support, and it did have an impact. We certainly saw that a number of senators changed their position because of the efforts of activists, some in response to our ministrations. Brad, how are you today?
I'm doing well. It sounds like you're still filibustering with 6 hours on the air today, Peter.
Well, at 6 o'clock Pacific time tonight, I'm done.
Okay.
I'm going to just go and put on my black robe.
Yeah.
And pour myself a tall, cold one.
Yeah.
And kick back and try to recover. It's been a long week.
It's the Brad Friedman hour. That must mean you're just minutes away from your weekend well-deserved rest.
Well, and it was fun to do the filibuster marathon.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I was going to say it's you're minutes away from your weekend rest unless you're suddenly called into emergency action as you were last weekend.
Well, it was fun. I take a yoga class on Saturday mornings. That's my concession to better health.
Yep.
And I came home and was all pretty spent and groggy, and Tom Hartman called and said, "Hey, Peter, they need us." And so Tom did a couple of hours, and then I came into the studio and plugged into Los Angeles, did a couple of hours. Then you took over.
Yeah, and I was delighted to handshake with you and cross over there for about a half hour. That was a lot of fun, and I was able to I did another 3 hours or so on Sunday, along with Mike Malloy, who did a couple hours, and Tom, who did a couple of more. So the team all got on board, and at least out here in the blogosphere and on the progressive talk radio side, we were able to get our acts together and march in virtual lockstep there for a few hours, even if the folks in D.C. ultimately were not. But you're right, we did. We were able to quite directly affect what went on in D.C. They heard us loud and clear. they're still not completely on board, unfortunately, and I think it's going to cost a bunch of those senators who haven't yet gotten it out there. But it's encouraging that, in fact, some of them did. And I can't remember if you and I have talked about this before, but there is still, as George puts it, a misunderestimation of the power of the blogosphere and the number of folks who are here. MyDD, Chris Bowers over at MyDD, had done a study last summer, I think it was, of just the 60 blogs that were at the time associated with something called the Advertise Liberally Network, Advertising Network, and found that, in fact, the numbers of readers that those 60 progressive liberal blogs got equals or surpasses, in some cases, the number of folks who are watching CNN, MSNBC, and MSNBC, CNN, and Fox during prime time.
That's impressive.
In fact, we may well be the silent majority this time around, and I think folks are still, as I say, misunderestimating the number of folks that we have out here and potentially the power of those folks to change the rules a little bit in D.C.
Well, and just to give people a soupçon of hope, I have to tell you, Brad, that yesterday on the program, in the last half hour, we hooked up with a progressive who is running for the Senate in Pennsylvania, Chuck Panacchio. And I was so impressed with this man that I invited him back today on the Tom Hartman Show to reach a larger audience and to get some different messages out. And he is so strong, and he's in an uphill fight because he's the progressive, and he doesn't have the blessing of Chuck Schumer, who's running the Senate campaigns this year for the Democrats at the DSCC. Schumer has handpicked Bob Casey Jr., who is pro-life, who is a very conservative Democrat, the son of a former governor who, of course, was famously excluded from the Clinton convention in 92 because he wanted to give a pro-life speech. And it's interesting because this guy Casey came out in favor of the Alito confirmation, and he's not even in the Senate.
Huh. Yeah, it's incredible that we saw that. I mean, to a certain extent, I almost have... I know this is going to sound strange, but I almost have more respect for a Senator Robert Byrd, who also came out for Alito, but, you know, he was against the filibuster, but he was in favor of Alito. What I can't figure out is these Democrats who claim to be against a guy like Alito, and yet they're against filibustering. In other words, they're against fighting for what they believe in. And there is this thinking, it seems, now in D.C. I mean, I think progressives have sort of a two-front battle that they have to overcome. One is the opposition within the Democratic Party itself, these guys like Schumer and so forth, who are still trying to be, I think, Republican light, figuring that there is some sort of middle that they need to appeal to. But, you know, there was a new poll that I was just reading today from Gallup, where you've got a majority of Americans, 53%, I believe, was the number.
I saw that.
Believe that George W. Bush purposely misled America into war with Iraq, misled us on the weapons of mass destruction. That is a majority. Now, why these Democrats don't understand that, a majority would also like to see him impeached if, in fact, it's proven that he lied about it. So, you know, why they are not getting that message and, you know, latching on to what is quickly becoming the great majority in this country is still a mystery. So I'm glad to see guys like Panacchio and others coming on board who are willing to fight that fight and who understand what's going on in the country, even if a lot of these mainstream Democrats still fail to get it.
And Brad, I would never presume to dictate what you blog about, but check him out at chuck2006.com and see what you think. The race is critical because the ultimate opponent is Rick Santorum. And you're not going to beat Rick Santorum by being Ricky Light.
No, exactly.
It's just
and,
not going to work.
You know, we're seeing this, though, not just with Panacchio. We are seeing all sorts of folks who are now stepping forward to do exactly that, whether they are Iraqi vets or, you know, other citizens who just say, enough is enough. I'm going to take these guys on, and we're going to have a primary challenge. It's going to get ugly, I'm afraid, to a certain extent. But I think the Alito fight proved how necessary it is and how necessary it is to sort of regain the voice of the people.
And, you know, the Paul Hackett race for the Senate in Ohio is not the only Iraqi veteran who has surfaced. Paul Rykoff at the organization used to be called Operation Truth. They renamed it, Iraq and Afghanistan War Veterans, something
Veterans
like
of America,
that.
Yeah.
They have formed a PAC, and the PAC is exclusively to support the campaigns of veterans from these two conflicts. And there are at least 10 that Paul Rykoff has identified so far, including Hackett in Ohio. And I think that's a very interesting crew of potential freshmen on the Hill.
You bet. And I hear that there's even more than that. Perhaps some of those vets are from other wars, but they are a great majority. I think almost all of them seem to be running for the Democratic Party. These vets, one way or another. So it's going to be very interesting. Of course, we run into that problem that you and I talk about so often, which is these voting machines and how much they can actually be relied on, no matter what the popularity might be of Democrats or the disgust with the Republicans might be. That's a real wild card here.
It does remain. We got to take a break, yeah. Brad, and when we continue, I'm going to update you on a conversation I had with Harvey Wasserman in Ohio. More rollbacks of democracy there with the passage of HB 3 this week. We'll talk about that, and we'll see what else is happening on the Brad blog. We will not leave Brad off the air before he gets a few digs in at Ann Coulter. I promise you that. Your calls are welcome. 831-899-5792 Central Coast, North Coast, or anywhere else. Toll free at 1-888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2-1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
KRXA 540 checks in now with Metro Traffic to see how your Friday commute's shaping up. Here's Stephen Taylor.
Well, a lot of accidents happened earlier this afternoon, and it just didn't seem like something to be real urgent about, apparently, because things are still in place. Aromas, San Juan Road, west of 101, a couple of vehicles off to the right shoulder. In the town of Felton, Plateau Drive at Ada Drive, another accident there. And Soquel is still cleaning up. 41st Avenue at Corey Street, earlier thought to be an injury accident, turned out to be just vehicles that got injured, and the ambulance had to go away empty. Also something that may affect things along the coast, at Los Gatos Highway 9, North Santa Cruz Avenue, an accident there right in the intersection. This report sponsored by McDonald's, from the premium chicken sandwiches to the chicken McNuggets made with white meat. You can trust McDonald's for carefully inspected, top-quality chicken. Taste the difference today, only at McDonald's. Stephen Taylor with traffic on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Joe's at the controls today, and I like the way he's driving. It's 5:21. We continue our weekly visit with Brad Friedman. His Bradness from bradblog.com. We'll take your calls coming up here, 831-899-5792, 888-579-2540. And let's not tease them any longer. Let's deliver the Coulter update, Brad. You just you made my day, I think it was yesterday, with one of your Brad Flash updates. And the framing was fabulous because there's a picture of Osama bin Laden, and under it it says bin Laden. Then there's a picture of Ann Coulter, and it says bin Coulter. And I don't know why, that just hit my funny bone in a very direct way.
Well, it's what that was in reference to was a new video that we released exclusively yesterday on BradBlog, as created, believe it or not, by a conservative organization, Citizens for Principled Conservatism, a fellow by the name of Dan Borchers, who I've written about before at BradBlog, and he contends that Ann Coulter is exceedingly dangerous to the conservative movement. And he's not alone. There are a lot of true conservatives, not these phony conservatives who have used it for a label, but a political wedge, but actually folks who are conservative. And in his case, in Borchers' case, he's also a Christian conservative, and he does not like at all what these phonies like Ann Coulter have done and find them to be very dangerous. He's putting together a series of presentations, PowerPoint presentations, which we're converting to video. And this one is called, what is it called? I was going to say A Time to Kill, but now I've all of a sudden forgot. Not Fit to Live, in which it chronicles the lovely Ms. Coulter's seeming obsession with death and destruction of her opponents, no matter who they are, political or otherwise. Amongst the things you'll see put together in this video are the different people that she has called for the death of. As you know, last week she called for the rat poisoning of Justice John Paul Stevens' creme brulee. But with her, it's always a joke. Oh, I was just joking.
Yeah.
This video points out, when you take them all together, it's very troubling, and he suggests that, you know, at some point, somebody's going to take her seriously. And I think a lot of people do take her seriously, judging by the response that one of my guest bloggers, Lydia Cornell, got after Ann Coulter posted her personal phone number on her website. She started getting death threats and everything else. But just to go down really quickly here, the line of folks that Ann Coulter has called for death in some fashion above and beyond Justice Stevens. She's called for the death of Elizabeth Dole by assault weapons. John Walker Lynn.
Wait. Liddy Dole's a conservative.
Well, exactly, but not conservative enough apparently for.
Wow, that's enforced. That's enforcing party unity.
Yeah, isn't it though?
Wow.
Let's see. She wants to kill John Walker Lynn by wants to see him burned alive. Norman Mineta should assassination. The New York Times should be truck bombed. Al Gore, friendly fire. Gray Davis, friendly fire.
John Edwards, death by strangling, John Kerry, carpet bombing, and American journalists in general by assassination. This is serious stuff when you look at it. And, you know, her line is, oh, it's all a joke. Oh, it's hysterically funny. But I think Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly would probably not have me on if I suggested the assassination of George W. Bush by, you know, rat poisoning or anything else.
Yeah.
But she gets a free pass. And
I mean, the closest people have come are the pretzel jokes about Bush.
Well, yeah, but it's not a joke. I mean, the fact is, she's calling for the death of, you know, one seeming enemy after another. I mean,
right.
and that was a list of, you know, American politicians and journalists and so forth. Never mind, you know, what she suggested about Muslims around the country, no matter if they're fanatical or not. She mm-hmm. wants to get them, kill them, destroy them all, convert them to Christianity. Is this the America that we want? Is this the kind of thing we want to be calling for? And finally, how the hell does this woman get so much free airtime without being condemned? I mean, imagine had Cindy Sheehan made a single comment along those lines about killing anybody like that. You know, forget about it.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's just this double standard. Now, a lot of people on the blog and elsewhere claim, oh, you know, she's not worth your time. Don't worry about Ann Coulter. Don't worry about Fox News. I disagree. I think these people are very dangerous, and I think, you know, I don't believe it's all whacked out wing nuts who watch Fox News and those things. I think that is a lot of regular good Americans who really don't understand what they're being sold when they hear somebody like this, when they hear a hate speaker like Ann Coulter come out and work the crowds and suggest that those who disagree with her ought to be put to death.
Especially when
serious.
You see the pattern of it. That's what's scary. If you hear it once or twice, it's somewhat easy to shrug it off. But when it becomes this detailed and pervasive, that is a serious issue. And by the way, on the pretzel thing, D.C. police have placed me 4 blocks from the White House on the day the president choked. But that's as far as they've gotten, and I'll cop to more when Karl Rove is frog-marched out of the White House. Dave in Humboldt, join us on the Peter B. Show with Brad Friedman.
Ann Coulter is what they're all about. You know, if you lie long enough and loud enough, some people are going to buy into it, and they do. And she is dangerous, and so are the rest of them. But, Brad, I so admire what you have done. You have produced so many good smoking guns around this voting machine and election fraud. And I do believe that election fraud is a crime, and it has not been prosecuted. And I think it could be a civil action. The people of this country have been seriously damaged and defrauded. I think why is there not some really extreme hard action hitting on this? Every day that passes with those crooked voting machines still producing no records, it's nerve-wracking. They fully plan to do it to us again.
There's no question that they plan to do it to us again, and it's a very dangerous situation. Of course, thanks, Dave. I really appreciate your kind words.
Yeah,
I'm doing everything I can to get the word out about it. I believe I've hinted on this show about it, but there is, and I got further confirmation today, another major, very major news organization who is about to jump into this matter in a big way. And I'm hoping that will change the way this thing is reported in, across the board, across the mainstream media. We are going to see more there and very soon and in a big way. I think it's going to make a big difference in the way this stuff is handled. And, yeah, people.
All right, gents, we're up against a break. Yeah. We'll continue in just a moment. More of your calls for Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, 831-899-5792, 888-579-2540. And still to come before the end of the hour, our weekly chat with Assemblyman John Laird, the Democrat from Santa Cruz. We're going to ask him to handicap the Democrats for governor, Wesley and Angelides. That's all ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources is an IRA distribution specialist. Other than your home, your retirement plan is probably the largest investment you have. And you have a choice. You can pass it on to your beneficiaries as a legacy, or it can be left as an IOU to Uncle Sam. Chaos can lead to confusion. Most financial advisors cannot help or answer such questions like, why should my IRA not be in my trust? Should there be a separate IRA for each beneficiary? Is there a way to set up a multi-generation stretch IRA? Michelle Ashen, a certified estate planner and IRA distribution expert, is offering a 30-minute free consultation, which will resolve these issues and explain how to undo the mistakes you may have already made. Meet with Michelle to create a plan that will preserve and protect your life savings and distribute them in the most tax-advantaged way. Call today, won't you? 641-0236. That's 831-641-0236.
Join RJM on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding, Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
KRXA has a Valentine for you. Joan Kenley is bringing you her new Saturday show on KRXA 540. It's called Talking XA 540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, where we feature free speech and electric guitars. Lines are open for you at 831-899-5792, toll-free 888-579-2540. We're talking with Brad. Ready, steady, go. Another setback for democracy in my native state of Ohio. We led off the show today with a visit from Harvey Wasserman at freepress.org. That's where you can read a disturbing article about even more disturbing legislation that passed the legislature in Ohio this week. It is HB 3. It guts election protections, requires an ID, a photo ID, or other documentation. That's a way to discourage certain Democratic segments from voting. It also ends the ability of the public to conduct meaningful audits of voting machines. You think Diebold wrote that clause, or their lobbyists did? It imposes a huge jump in the cost of any kind of a recount, a five-fold increase, and it eliminates the state statutes that have allowed citizens to challenge the outcome of federal elections conducted in Ohio in the past. And this kind of slams the door on democracy in the Buckeye State, doesn't it, Brad?
Yep, it sure does. Unfortunately, the Buckeye State is really the ground zero for this, but there's other states all around the country who are implementing the same thing. And this, there's very clear evidence that this is coming from the National Party, from the Republican National Party, via this group that I uncovered, this phony group, the American Center for Voting Rights, and it is a scheme
that is in the works now in state houses all around the country, trying to force photo ID on folks. As you suggest, it's just a way to disenfranchise folks who happen to be Democratic-leaning voters. And our democracy is in serious trouble. You know, it's interesting because I've been, you're exhausted this week, so am I. If you go over to our friends at rawstory.com and just gander down the headlines there, you'd think this administration is in big trouble left and right, and they really are, from, you know, one topic to the next. Boy, I mean, you and I, we could talk about this for 10 hours in a row today. But they're, as usual, they're a few steps ahead of us, and they are busy gaming the system and passing these laws, these dangerous laws that are, you know, no matter what happens with this Bush administration, these various scandals, these laws are going to be around for decades to come, just like Sam Alito is going to be around for decades to come. It's a real, a very serious and very dangerous time in this country. I sure hope to hell that the citizenry is paying attention and is going to start doubling their efforts to make noise about what's going on and stop this. We're in a grave danger, I'm afraid.
Brad, I haven't seen anything either on the blog or in the MSM mainstream media this week. Nothing new from Bruce McPherson on the HAVA required certification of machines and the squeeze that county registrars are in about how to conduct elections this June.
Yeah, there actually is news, and there's been so damn much going on that I've actually fallen a step or two behind. There has been news, and in fact, they did post a list of the companies that have now been approved in the state of California, which is pretty much to say all of them, with the exception of Diebold, who they are still waiting to hear from the authorities, the national authorities, on as well. I'm going to try to get this posted over the weekend. It's been a busy week, but I've got some video from a Bruce McPherson appearance. He doesn't appear very often. I've got some exclusive video on that. He appeared near you. I think I was up in Eureka talking about it, and it looks pretty clear to me like he's going to allow, that he's going to recertify Diebold in this state. It's just a matter of getting the okay back from the feds, and I hope to catch up a little bit there too, because this investigation that the feds are doing is apparently being led by Maryland's election director, Linda Lamone, who is a huge Diebold supporter. So I think they're going to come back and say, well, even if we have that bad source code in there, as long as there are protections in place to keep anybody from getting to those memory cards that can be hacked, then you've got nothing to worry about. And I'm pretty sure that's where Bruce McPherson is going to be going, unfortunately.
Let's take some calls. Jake and Arcata, join us with Brad on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Jake.
Hey, I got a question about the postponement of Scooter Libby's trial. It was supposed to start in September, but it's been postponed until January of 2007. And I know a lot of people are concerned that it was put off to help the Republicans in the November election. But personally, the way I see it is, I think the Democrats are going to win control of the Congress anyway with all these corruption scandals surrounding the Republicans. And if Scooter Libby goes on trial of January of 2007, that's just in time for the Democratically controlled Congress to open up impeachment hearings with the trial. What do you think?
Wishful thinking. Go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a very optimistic outlook. I hope you're right about all of the above. That sounds great to me. However, there is reason to be concerned. You know, Libby's got, I actually was just speaking with Sybil Edmonds, the FBI whistleblower.
Oh, yeah. I'm proud to know Sybil Edmonds.
Indeed. And she points out that, look, this guy, Libby, has about 10 lawyers. What? So one of them has a scheduling conflict. They're going to put
that's
the
why he was hired.
3 months?
Come on, they checked his calendar before they hired him.
Yeah, well, exactly. Now, there's a lot of reasons to be concerned with this Judge Walton, by the way, and it's another story that I'm trying to catch up with. Some of this has gotten out, but this guy Walton, let me point out, is the same guy who just happens to have been assigned to that Valerie Plame case, is also Sybil Edmonds' judge. So
yeah,
she suggests there is no mistake there, because in both cases it was supposedly random, and this Judge Walton is a very strange character.
In the Edmonds cases, he has ruled for the government 100% of the time, even on, you know, the classification of public documents, letters that were sent, open letters from senators to the Justice Department, were reclassified as secret, and this judge signed off on it.
I think he's the one who classified the 60 Minutes report concerning Sybil Edmonds after it had already aired. I think now that is officially classified material.
That's effective.
As well, his disclosure statements, he's one of maybe two or three federal judges in the entire country who released their disclosure statements 100% redacted. Everything on it concerning his background and his investments and so forth has been completely redacted.
Wow.
Go figure.
All right.
You got to watch out for those Republican judges. That's all I got to say.
Jake, thanks. I got to jump. Brian's
on
the line.
I like your outlook, Jake, better, so I'm going to hope you're right.
Thanks,
Brian, is this our Brian from Prunedale?
Hey, gentlemen, I'm listening to your show, and some interesting stuff from Brad. And, you know, I'm going to tell you that I'm concerned about this voting machine problem, if there truly is a dilemma with the way that they're coded or something. I hope that it gets resolved. One thing I will not brook is the illegitimate balloting process, no matter how it's done. And obviously, if it can be tweaked one way, it can be tweaked another, so nobody's safe. Which is why I vote absentee. Hopefully that absentee ballot gets tallied somewhere with an optical scanner or whatever, and
I
would
count on it, Brian. Sorry.
I realize that having machinery do all the work we're subject to the whims of the machinery. But I wish you well. If you can make some sense out of it, I hope that things can be reconciled and we get accurate voting process. Your last caller just brought up something kind of interesting that we all learned during the Clinton impeachment process was that in order for there to be a perjury charge stick, the perjury has to be material to an original crime. What was the original crime? And if you tell me it's about, you know, disclosing Valerie Wilson Plame's covert identity, that ain't going to cut it because that was never charged.
There was never an
original charge of that crime.
Well, but that you can assert that, Brian, but that is not germane. Go ahead, Brad.
Well, no, actually, lying to an investigator and obstructing justice, which is what Libby's been charged with, is in and of itself a crime. That's essentially how they got Martha Stewart, because she was never found guilty of that crime or even charged with
Brad, let me jump in because we're tight on time here. Yeah. I just want to be very clear with Brian. He's one of my conservative buddies, and we like to joust here. It's very clear this, that Bill Clinton lied when he knew what the stakes were. Karl Rove apparently lied when he knew what the stakes were, when he was testifying before the grand jury, when he was being interviewed by FBI agents. And if those charges are sustained, they are sufficient, whether an underlying crime is proved or not. Thanks for your call, Brian. I want to squeeze in Ben from Salinas, who's been holding for a while. Go ahead, Ben.
Yes, sir. I'm calling to sound a warning. What you recently seen happening on the Medicare bill, and I'm starting to hear horror stories already about people that are ready to resign themselves to die because of the treatments that are not going to be allowed. In Mr. Bush's speech the other night, he said that he's going to make a committee to fix Social Security. What they've done in Medicare is what they want to do Social Security. The importance of the elections in November is this. Realize, please, and you good Republicans, you hear me too, because you're going down the toilet with us. If we don't stop these people in the November elections, how much damage can Mr. Bush and Negroponte and these people do to us in 2 years? And don't think they won't.
All right, Ben, I'm going to let the question dangle out there because we're out of time. I appreciate your contribution. Brad, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Always looking forward to it. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Brad Friedman, he blogs at bradblog.com 24/7. Check for updates. I'm Peter B. Collins. Coming up next, Assemblyman John Laird joins us for his weekly visit, and we'll get his thoughts about a couple of issues, the California Clean Money Act that passed out of the Assembly this week, and the upcoming primary contest between Democratic State Controller Steve Westley and State Treasurer Phil Angelides. That's next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, this is Karen from Monterey Floral. Valentine's Day is not far away. Call Monterey Floral to order your sweetheart's bouquet. Chocolates, balloons, and foot baskets are also available. You provide the massage. Let Monterey Floral help you make this Valentine's Day extra special. We are located at 1250 Del Monte Avenue. Give us a call today, mention this ad, and receive a surprise gift. That's 641-0651. 641-0651. Remember, flowers say it all.
This is it. This is the world we live in. What are we going to do about it? It's time to stop picking parasites off your friend's hairy back and become an engaged cerebral citizen. Yes, there is more to American youth culture than McDonald's, malls, MySpace, and corporate monopolies. We have got to do better than the current apes that are in the process of turning this country into a banana republic. But we need your help. Call in, tell your friends, and listen to The Naked Ape, Sundays on KRXA.
Listen live Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m.
KRXA 540 with one more look at our Friday afternoon commute. Here's Stephen Taylor.
Well, there are a couple of long time to clear city street accidents persisting. SoCal, 41st Avenue at Corey Street. Two vehicles involved. Earlier injuries thought to be there. No, I guess they're not. It's just the vehicles that got injured. Also at Felton Plateau Drive and Ada Drive. Another couple of vehicles involved in an accident. Reports of heavy fog and spots along Highway 1 down into the Monterey Bay. That could slow some traffic considerably. Also, Santa Cruz Mountains, Bear Creek Road at Hidden Springs Lane. Accident on the right shoulder. There are vehicles involved there. This report sponsored by TomTom. TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. Stephen Taylor with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Stephen. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
I'm Peter B. Collins, 547 now, and every week we spend a few minutes get an update on the scene in Sacramento from Democratic Assemblyman John Laird from Santa Cruz, who joins us on the line this afternoon. We got the OJs for the love of money. To set up our first topic, John Laird, AB 583, the California Clean Money Act, passed out of the Assembly this week.
Yes, Peter, and it's great to be with you. It was passed out with 46 votes on Monday, which in an 80-member assembly is great. And it still does not have the financing mechanism firmly embedded in it, but the fact that an overwhelming majority of assembly members were willing to go for political reform and clean money and public financing of campaigns is something that has never happened yet in California. It's very exciting.
It really is. And was it Jess Unruh who said money is the mother's milk of politics?
Yeah, that was actually the polite thing that he said about money.
Well, that's unfair to breastfeeding. But all the things that we talk, almost all the things that we talk about on this program that people feel passionately about relate to the perception, if not the reality, that money has way too much influence in our political system, particularly in Sacramento and in Washington. And so this is an important first step. What would you counsel our listeners who really want to see public financing of campaigns? Who are the point people on this issue going forward as the financing mechanism is fleshed out?
Well, Assembly Member Lonnie Hancock of Berkeley in the East Bay is the author of the bill and the one that has really been driving the discussion. I and a few other people are co-authors of the bill with her, and the Speaker of the Assembly is very involved in this. I think it was really his commitment that moved this out of the Appropriations Committee and out of the Assembly. It's Fabian Nunes, and I think he's real interested in sending this all the way to the governor, and he is sort of together with Lonnie and some of the others of us trying to figure out the best financing mechanism. And I think at the same time, the next stop is the Senate, and there are a number of senators from our region that it would be very helpful for to hear from people locally on this. And, you know, you mentioned that it's concerned about special interest money and their influence, but there's this sort of companion thing that's really obvious, but some of my colleagues spend so much time, and I spend a fair amount of time, raising money, and the thought that we could actually spend virtually 100% of time on public policy is very exciting. I mean, it's the time commitment as well, and as somebody who's a policy wonk and knows what it takes to understand levies or manage the budget or do other things, being able to have people's full attention on what they were sent there for would be a very good thing.
Well, and listeners sometimes suggest that I ought to run for office, and, you know, it's flattering. It's not something I've ever really seriously considered. But in a moment when I've looked at it, I've said, well, you know, the biggest reason is I don't want to go out and ask strangers for large amounts of cash.
Well, for good reason. It's hard. It's not necessarily pleasant. But, you know, if you believe in what you're doing and you really can make the case, I personally have a very broad base of donors. I mean, I probably had, I think, at least 2,000 donors since I've been in the Assembly, and it's a lot of people that send small amounts of money, and that's very powerful. I mean, it actually fit well with Queen Money, but it does represent some measure of support and obligation when, if people are donating to you for good government reasons, it sort of strengthens you in standing up for the right things when they're tough times. And so it does cut slightly another way occasionally, but it is really hard if you're asking somebody for a big donation. That's not the easiest thing in the world.
Well, and of course, if you and I were eBay millionaires, we could transfer $20 million into the campaign account and feel real good about it, not have to make all those phone calls and go out to rubber chicken dinners. Let's talk about the governor's race that's shaping up for the June primary in the Democratic side. We've got two, I think, very interesting candidates, and I think they each have strengths, and they complement one another. Phil Angelides has been on the scene for many years, former chair of the State Democratic Party. He's a tough guy who enjoys the fight in the political fray. And he is a wealthy individual, a developer from the Sacramento area. And he so far has a war chest of about $12 million that he says is raised from thousands of donors. I don't know if he has loaned or donated any significant amounts to his campaign coffers. Steve Wesley, who I referenced obliquely there a minute ago, did make a fortune at eBay. And he's the one who beefed up his campaign just before the end of last year's cutoff for the most recent finance report. He pumped in about $20 million, and so he has a balanced cash on hand of about $24 right now. Now, that's just one marker that the media likes to look at, but it is critical because these two candidates each have name ID challenges on a statewide basis that they will have to overcome to persuade the primary voters to choose one of them this June. Have you yourself evaluated the candidates, and are you ready to state a preference, or are you still considering?
Oh, no, I have endorsed Phil Angelides for governor, and I know them both and have known them both for many years, and Steve Wesley does bring some good things to the table, but he also, you know, prides himself on being more of a centrist, and I have joked in public. I introduced Phil Angelides at an event a few months ago, saying that one of my favorite Hunter Thompson quotes was that he took great pride in having kicked Nixon while he was up. And I think the same thing applies to Phil Angelides. When Arnold Schwarzenegger was at 70% popularity, he was not afraid to say the emperor has no clothes. And Steve was standing with him raising his arm, campaigning together for the governor's ballot propositions the year before last. And I sort of feel like the ultimate test of a politician is whether you can trust them in the tough times to sort of say what needs to be done when it's not the easy course. And Phil has passed that test, and Steve has had a rough time. I also am somebody that came from a family that was, you know, working family. We never had much money. And I always have never looked favorably upon people that have sort of given tens of millions of their own money in political campaigns as their way into political office. I believe in old-fashioned learning the issues, meet people, sort of toil in the fields and work your way up. And Phil's done a little more of that than Steve, and I was hoping Steve would run for re-election to state controller and, you know, be ready at some future race after he'd been there a bit. So, you know, that's my general assessment of the race. But with that, you know, historically in California, people with large amounts of money have not done well when it's been their own money. Al Checky, et cetera. So.
That's true so far. That is certainly the case. Now, interesting piece. This writer, Jill Stewart, I have never met. I think she's based in Southern California and appears in the San Francisco Chronicle on about a weekly basis. And she sized up these two guys in her column today. And I think she's clearly favoring Westley, but she mischaracterizes Angelides in a number of ways. And it appears that his courage in being a Democrat who says he's willing to raise taxes to pay for full funding of K-12, to pay for a complete rollback of the Schwarzenegger increases at community, state, and UC campuses. Those are very strong visionary positions for him to take, and they are high-risk positions. And on the other hand, I think Westley is interesting and smart, but risk is not something that appears to be in his portfolio.
I think you characterized it totally correctly in both cases, and Jill Stewart is not my favorite columnist. I mean, she tends to take a more conservative point of view, and on her website used to refer to herself as the attack dog with pretty hair.
Mm.
And
she's got an Ann Coulter thing going?
Yeah, there's something there, and it's, and I even had a beef with her at one point where she completely mischaracterized a bill of mine and had it backwards, and I just didn't think she did much work in analysis, and so I sort of take what she says with a grain of salt, and she is carried in some weeklies across the state in addition to the Chronicle.
Mm-hmm. Also, she did correctly point out that we're going to be subjected to more bombast from both Bob Mulholland and Gary South. And, you know, each of those guys is smart and articulate, and they also like to head right into the gutter, in my opinion.
Well, I've known Bob forever, and Bob is just a trained attack dog. I think that Gary South, at some point I would wonder why people would hire him. You know, he went from Gray Davis to Joe Lieberman, and he really believes that you should moderate any position, and that's the way to get somewhere, and his candidates consistently look like they have no core values. And and that's exactly the thing that Steve Westley will fight, and I don't think that Gary South will give him good advice in that regard. So Bob could tone it down as well. So I just hope they behave during these campaigns, but particularly with Gary, I'm not hopeful.
Well, I, a long time ago, interviewed Phil when Bob was his number two, I guess, at the state party, and they're an odd couple, I'll say that.
They are, and it was Bob Mulholland doing the sort of picture of a Senate candidate going into a risque dance club and having that picture a day or two before an election that was thought to have turned that election, or at least...
Gosh,
you know,
John, Bruce
Hershenson's
name hasn't come up since this morning. Thanks a lot. It's time to go. Great
sure.
to talk,
talk
to you. You have a good weekend. John Laird, Assemblyman from Santa Cruz. Peter B. Collins signing off. I'll talk to you Monday on all of these same stations. Happy trails.
Happy trails.
Are you having a problem making your home loan payments? Do you have equity to protect? At your wit's end, trying to figure out how you'll be able to keep your home? Would you like to speak to a highly qualified loan agent who does not charge for advice? Hi, I'm John Sullivan of Executive Financial Services in Salinas. We can advise you about negotiating with your lender, and believe me, most lenders would rather negotiate with you than own your home. We can advise you about the foreclosure process and bankruptcy filings. If you need us, you can call us 7 days a week between 10 and 7 at 443-7277. We personally answer the phone and don't pre-screen our calls. We're here to give you advice. We can give you your options 5 minutes after reviewing your credit report. We might be able to help you. We might not be able to help you. But if you never call us, you'll never know. That's 443-7277 for a five-minute solution. Executive Financial Services at 443-7277.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Dave Barrett. Two presidents, two differing views on how to conduct domestic surveillance and track suspected terrorists. Correspondent Peter Mayer on his exclusive interview today.
Former President Clinton tells CBS News he supports tapping suspected terror phone calls, but he says it should only be done with court approval. The Bush administration says Mr. Clinton okayed warrantless searches, but the former president insists never without court approval within the 72 hours under the law.
I think other things being equal, it's better for us all to have some measure of accountability because nobody's immune from error.
In our interview, Mr. Clinton revealed he sought court approval for up to 5 wiretaps a week. He predicts the Supreme Court will decide the legality of the Bush administration approach. Peter Mayer, CBS News, New York.
1,400 passengers were on a ship headed from Saudi Arabia to Egypt. Many were workers transiting home. Early today, the ship capsized. So far, only 324 survivors have been found in the chilly Red Sea. It's been a stampede in Manila at a sports stadium. At least 66 people have been killed. They had lined up to watch a game show. Police have no suspects in Alabama following the burning of 5 churches not far from Birmingham. CBS's Mark Strassman with more.
All the churches were Baptist, a mix of white and black congregations. 3 were gutted, the others partially damaged. Investigators say the arsonists set fires as fast as they could drive from one sanctuary to the next.
On an L.A. street.
It appeared that there were 2 vehicles who were possibly street racing at speeds that were guessed between 80 and 90 miles an hour.
The LAPD's Sarah Faden says the guy in a Nissan crashed into a medical clinic. The other vehicle, a white Lincoln Town Car, drove off. 13 people have been hurt in that med center. 3 are in critical condition. Coretta Scott King had been undergoing treatment for ovarian cancer at a facility in Mexico, San Diego. But reporter Adrian Bard says that center has now closed for reportedly conducting, among other things, unauthorized surgeries.
20 American patients remain at the Mexican clinic where Coretta Scott King died. Clinic offers alternative treatments for cancer. It was shut down by Mexican authorities. Liza Davis of the U.S. Consulate in Tijuana said there were no complaints about the clinic prior to Mrs. King's death.
We cannot monitor the entire